Launching. Now launching. The dumbest radio show in America. Welcome to Common Man and T-Bone.
Although sometimes in the fall they do, because they put those dumb flowering bushes right by the drive-thru speaker.
That's right.
And then you get the fall time where the bees know they're about to die because it's getting cold out and they're ornery. And you roll down your window and say, can I have a...
How's that again? How's it going?
Excuse me, can I have a big...
Featuring Panama Ted.
Too hot.
Timmy Hall.
I will rub one on my face.
And a collection of profane noises.
Coach? No, Dom.
I'm a genetic freak. And I'm not normal.
I won't miss a glory hole.
I'll keep it in the room.
Stop breathing.
It used to be a lot longer.
The numbers don't lie.
This is stupid. This is man and bone.
It is Wild Card Wednesday. Our favorite day of the year. Hello, but week.
Year. Well, the year, too. The year of the week. Wednesdays are our favorite day of the week.
I love Wednesdays.
Yep.
Love the wild card.
Absolutely. You
and
can tweet us.
Humping.
You can tweet us at manandbone971. You can text us 614-787-3093.
Yeah.
You can Morse code us at beep, 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 boop. No, you can't do that. I don't even know if that's Morse code. If it is, don't translate it. Could be something horrible.
On campus, all the news and notes you need coming up at 4:48. Name dropping with Jeff Rimmer in the 5 o'clock hour. Rim's ready to go. He wants to talk about the lottery last night. Jackets will choose fourth in the draft. They had the fourth best odds. They stay at four. Sharks win the lottery. They'll get the Italian guy.
Oh.
Whatever his name.
Yeah. I don't know.
Cipollini?
Sure.
No.
Cremini?
Mushroom Man?
I don't know. He, I will say, my mom actually, I was talking to her last night and she said, well, it's a shame Jeff Rimmer's not on your show anymore now that he retired. And I said, oh, mom.
No.
You're wrong.
He's here.
He's going to, even though he retired from doing the broadcasting, we still have him on this season because of hockey. But then next hockey season, he returns to ride again on our show.
But listen here.
Jeff Rimmer rides again.
There's only two things that prevent Rimmer from being on this show. One is the very real and probably already occurring prospect of dementia.
Okay. Okay. Two, I don't think so. He's pretty sharp.
Two is death.
Right.
Until one of those things happen, he's going to be on the show. As a matter of fact, if you think Rimmer is entertaining, and if you've listened to him for the past, I don't know, 20 years on the air with me,
yeah, he's been on for a long time.
That Rimmer, he's something. Imagine what he's going to be next year when he's not plugged into the Borg over at Nationwide Arena.
Yeah.
You saw a little hint of it this season because it was his last year, and he thought in his mind, well, what are they going to do?
Right.
Yeah, he just, they're not going to get rid of me.
He unplugged himself, but now he's going to be living free and breezy.
I'm a cultural icon.
That's right. He's reached a level of status, perhaps in his own mind, certainly in mine.
It's all right.
Where he can do whatever he wants. He can walk around,
it.
You know, the emperor has no clothes kind of situation. He can just be himself.
Well, and that's why it's hard to really know when dementia has set in.
Oh, I didn't know what we were just talking about. Jeff Rimmer naked, and then the next thing you say is
stop it.
I didn't know what you were going for.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
I didn't know. I got it now.
That's why it's hard to know when dementia sets in.
Ah, I see.
Because you don't know if it's truly dementia or if he's just a cocky ex-broadcaster.
Yeah, that's true. Because there are a lot of ex-broadcasters who have that swagger
right,
about them.
They just whip it out.
Well, they'll just, you know. That's right. I deserve to be here. Don't you know who I am? It's like, sir, this is a Denny's. And your food is right in front of you.
Rudy Tooty. Fresh and fruity.
Yeah.
Is that Denny's?
Yeah.
Rudy Tooty?
I think, wait a second. I know it's Moons Over Miami is Denny's. The Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity might be IHOP, now that you say that. You know what? Been too long. Got to do some field research, I think.
Okay.
Let's go.
Let's go. Show's over.
Yeah. I agree.
Boatman's here today because Teddy is Wednesday Ted today.
Absolutely.
This is the highlight of the Boatman's week, working with us.
Is that what you call it? when you kind of aren't sure what to expect and you're nervous the whole time?
I love it a year, even. The dozen or so Wednesdays that Ted's off from about April through August.
That's right.
Ted's having a good old time today getting a tetanus shot.
Yeah, I will say, Ted, if you've ever wondered what is the wild and crazy life of working with Common Man and T-Bone, here is Ted's speed of life that he is on. When he has a doctor's appointment, he takes the entire day off so as not to upset any other routines, because Ted is a man of routine.
So am I. I respect it.
I know. But I'm saying, like, he will then, he clears out the schedule, goes and gets done what needs to get done, and then has a nice relaxing afternoon away from us to recover from the doctor's visit.
There's a reason why. And Teddy's talked about this before. Anytime Teddy has to deal with a needle, whether it's giving blood or getting a shot or getting a vaccine, he needs to be revived.
He has some trouble with the needles.
Right. He passes out. The last time he went to get blood drawn, they needed to... Whenever you're in the doctor's office and you're like, oh, they have smelling salts taped to the back of the door. I wonder who needs those. The answer is Ted.
Ted needs those.
Ted needs smelling salts.
Your doctor has smelling salts taped to the back of your door?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen that. We have just like a door.
Oh, no, that's got it. Smelling salts sort of taped everywhere.
Why would you tape it? Why wouldn't you just get
I
a...
I don't know.
Where do they keep all the swabs? Do they just tape those around the room too? Maybe Dr. Scotch? What's happening?
Maybe it's, well, I don't know what drawer it's in, and they panic and open up all the drawers, but this way it's taped right to the back of the door if you need the smelling salts.
I never thought of that. Well, I gotta look at the back of the door next time I'm at the... Actually, no, our doctor, they now just have like the screens they slide across, so you're not even in a door.
Screens?
We have like the rooms are now like cubicles, more or less. Oh. You go in and they just slide the screen.
I've never experienced that.
Yeah, it's a...
My doctor's got doors.
I didn't know that was a flex.
And then we have conversations.
Well, we have conversations too.
Can you hear other people?
No, I don't. I think the screens are pretty...
Yeah, they're soundproof screens.
I'd say it's like a screen door. I don't know if I'm using the right term. I mean, they slide across. So I guess it is a door. It just slides. But they're not taping things to the back of it because it's on a track.
So
it doesn't open and close.
We don't have fancy track doors.
I know. Must go to a poverty doctor. Is that where it is?
That's right.
Yeah. Right there right next to the railroad tracks, I'm guessing.
All right, so Jackets will choose fourth in the draft. Sharks win the lottery, I said that. Reports say that Giselle and the kids were not thrilled with the Tom Brady roast. I don't know why that's breaking news.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't doubt that they, like, agreed. I would think that anyone involved with that would have said, hey, Tom Brady, are you sure you want to do this? Your wife and kids are going to be brought up at times. Not a lot. Well, at least the kids, the wife got brought up a ton. Giselle got brought up
many times. More jokes about the kids that got axed because Tom Brady was sensitive to that.
Well, but good. I mean, I do think you leave the kids out of it, right? They have nothing to do
with it. There were two things that were apparently, well, three things now. There was the Bob Kraft touchy-touchy massage.
Couldn't say anything about that.
Don't want that.
Right.
There was extensive stuff about the kids, I guess. There was a couple pot shots about the kids, but I guess there was more about actually making out with the kids.
Oh, yes, that's kissing. Right. I heard Nikki Glaser saying that they left some of that out because that was requested, and that's fair.
The only other thing that was requested, this again, according to Nikki Glaser, was jokes about his plastic surgery.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I just want to point out for a second, Giselle says to this man, you've accomplished everything.
Mm-hmm.
We've played second fiddle to your career and your passion for our entire lives together. You did it. You proved you could go away from the Patriots machine and win a Super Bowl. You've done that.
Mm-hmm.
And now I need you to be here. I need you to be a present husband and father.
Yeah.
He said, screw you. I got to go back to the Buccaneers and go 8-9.
Right.
Okay, so
we said at the time, why would you come back after you've done everything you've done?
Well, so Giselle gets on the phone or talks to him, however they, I'm sure they co-parent. I'm sure they have to have conversations, whether they like each other or not. That's just what parents have to do. I'm sure she says to him, hey, I'm not crazy about this roast idea.
Right.
He probably took it under the same advisement he took when he decided to go back to football. He doesn't care.
No kidding. Yeah.
How's that working out for you, Tommy?
Not great. You know what, though? This is what I find interesting about, like, these star athletes, right? Tom Brady is an ultra-competitive person. He is a guy that is driven beyond anything you and I can fathom. He's a person that would put himself through literal hell to win a game. That's just, that's how you are built if you're someone who's won as much as he has. You have to be. Michael Jordan apparently is a similar type of person. Driven beyond all reason and rationale. You look at some of the other star players. LeBron seems like...
Kobe was that way.
Kobe was very driven. Also, according... Now, again, lots of people have great stories about Kobe, like picking up the check and all that stuff. But also, there were times where, I mean, Kobe Bryant got into his with his teammates and had different issues, things like that. LeBron has had, you know, again, people have pointed out, he seems to be very focused on what he wants, regardless of if it's good for the team or whatever else. What I'm saying is, with all these guys, I feel like with Tom Brady, we shouldn't be entirely shocked that he's not great at much else other than being a football player. And by that, I mean, he's so great at being a football player, it doesn't leave a lot of room to be much else. I'm not excusing behavior. I'm saying, should we be shocked by that? Should we be shocked to find out that he's just kind of like he's a one note kind of guy? Like, this is pretty much what he's all about, is football. And anything beyond that, he really doesn't handle it well.
Wild Card Wednesday. This is from the burner phone.
Okay.
From Tipsy Waffles, he says, my Splash and Dashers.
Okay.
Can you give an oral history on the fan? Oh, I see what he's saying. I remember back in 16 not having local talent till 10 or 11 a.m. Mike and Mike till 9. Then the misery of Colin Cowherd, and I know Dan Le Batard had a small stint. How long was the conversation of having local shows in the morning before the fan acted? And how bad were the numbers of the national guys?
That's interesting.
You know, that's quite a lengthy story. I mean, the answer is going to be lengthy. So why don't we take a little break?
Okay.
Okay.
And then we'll come back.
And then I'll come back and I will give you an oral history of the fan. On Wild Card Wednesday, Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
We've got stop-and-go traffic on eastbound 70 on the west side between Mound Street and 315. And watch out for an accident that's blocking the right turn lane on southbound Hilliard Rome Road at Fisher Road. This report is sponsored by Allstate. You're in good hands. Some people just know there's a better way to do things, like bundling your home and auto insurance with Allstate. Why make things harder than they need to be? There's a better way to save time and money. Visit Allstate.com or call for a quote today. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Chen.
Today's special value is 3 hours of stupid. You're listening to Common Man and T-Bone.
It's Wild Card Wednesday. Had a listener on the burner phone ask for an oral history of the fan.
Yes.
Well, I can only give you an oral history of the last 20, 21 years.
Okay.
Because that's how long I've been here.
So how much of the 21 years are we going to get into right here? Because
we're going to go year by year.
Okay.
Year by year. I'm going to break it down by month as
okay,
well.
Good. That's where I think we should start.
Yes. So Mike and Mike was on the radio for a long time. That was our morning show. And for a while, we did good numbers with that show. They tinkered with it. They made it more of a television show than a radio show. The numbers started to suffer. And towards the end, you could tell that Greeny wanted to be doing anything else.
Yes. Well, in
rather
fact,
than that show.
He apparently, I mean, I think this is well documented now, but Greeny had for a long time wished he had done more with like SportsCenter, being an anchor, that kind of stuff. And then it so happened that he got thrown into the radio business with Mike and Mike.
And it worked.
And that became one
successful.
Of the greatest things that they've ever put out. ESPN, I mean, as like a, you know, product that they made. And so I don't think he was begrudging in the fact that he was doing it, but I think he always kind of had in the back of his mind, yeah, at some point I'd like to do other things at ESPN. And then after 20 years of success, he said, okay, now I want out and I don't care if this is good or not anymore. And it showed.
When I first started here, we were on the AM dial. We were on 1460. And if you listen from way back then, you will recall that our signal had limitations. So
yeah.
Before the sun was up in the morning, unless you lived downtown, you couldn't really hear it. And then when the sun went down in the afternoons in the wintertime, you couldn't hear it then either. And so it wasn't really cost effective for us to put on a morning show. There used to be morning shows on the fan. Skip and Dom were a morning show many years ago. Raymond Harris had a morning show with, I believe, Steve Heider.
Okay.
That was before my time. When I came in, it was Mike and Mike that was financially successful for us, and we didn't have to pay local talent to be in the studio because it is expensive to put on a good radio show. Now, I don't know if this is a good radio show, but it is expensive.
Well, it's all about comparatives, right? It's the amount of money you have to pay to ESPN to have programming. I don't think I'm breaking any news here. Radio stations pay, whether it's ESPN, you know, Odyssey, iHeartRadio, whoever the big companies are, they're paying for the rights to some of these shows. They're paying for the right to broadcast like these networks. So if you're already paying that money and they have a show that runs at whatever time you need it covered, 6 to 9, 9 to noon, well, that's always going to be cheaper than hiring people locally to show up to work every day. You have to pay them. You have to give them health care. You have to do all that stuff.
I want to say that when we first started, now, I was not privy to negotiating these contracts, but, you know, I've been here for a long time, and I know what we paid for a lot of this stuff. And that's not the case anymore, even though we do have a connection with ESPN. We run their weekend programming and evening programming when we don't have our own local stuff. But I remember when I first got here, we paid a yearly fee of $300,000.
Yeah.
To be an ESPN radio affiliate. You couldn't put on one local show.
No.
For $300,000.
When you account for all the different things you have to pay for, it's not just the people who are on the radio show. It's producer. It's the amount of engineering support you have to make sure that the show stays on the air. All the other stuff. Suddenly now you're playing maybe more different things you have to have the rights to play on the air. So there's all kinds of fees associated with that are too boring to get into here, but that number is cheaper. And that, again, that number you talked about is for the entire day.
Entire day.
That covers every show. You could literally be no local programming for that amount of money for the entire year. That's way different than having live people working in an office.
And it's dependent on your market size. You go to Podunk Town, Indiana, they're not paying $300,000. They're paying $20,000.
Of course,
they have fewer people listening.
Yeah, but they're the one. And that's why some of those stations run ESPN programming all day.
It's a cheaper option for them.
Yeah. Helps them meet their budget, gives them a local, you know, business. And then the person who owns that station may own two or three other ones. And that's kind of how all together those stations turn a profit. If one of them is just basically a computer in a closet running ESPN radio, that's way cheaper than having local staff.
But when I first got here, it was Mike and Mike, and I was actually hired to be the local voice of Mike and Mike in the morning.
Oh, yes, I remember those days.
I would come on with like an extended Sports Center update, like two and a half minutes.
It was more local
perspective.
Like a conversational, a couple opinions would be thrown in there, if I remember correctly.
Can I tell you something? It sucked. It was a stupid idea. It sucked. You can't make an audience connect with you in 90 seconds.
No,
it's impossible.
Their idea was, it's not a live local morning show, but it feels more like it with a live person.
Local voice who will come in every now and then and give you the weather and make a smart ass comment.
Right.
Yeah. That was stupid.
Yeah. That was, I don't envy you. That's a tough gig.
So there was that. Then we had Tony Kornheiser after that. When he retired from radio, then Colin Cowherd came in. So we did that.
Okay.
We didn't have a local show start till noon. And even then, it was just an hour. Spielman on Sports was an hour.
Okay.
From 12 to 1. Then we had another local show, the Herb Street Fitzsimmons show. Herbie and Fitz would come on at 3.
Yes.
They'd go 3 to 6, and that was our day. 4 hours of local programming.
And that was all it took. That was the amount of budget they had for it.
Well, that was all it took, and that's what the expectations were. The ratings expectation, when I first got here, was in football season, the whole station, get a two share. Now, what does that mean? That means of all the people listening to the radio at that particular time, 2% of them are listening to you.
In Columbus.
In Columbus.
Right. Yeah, in the greater Columbus area. In the greater Columbus area. That's all we're measured on.
In the greater Columbus area. And there was no podcast, there was no streaming, there was none of that. So you couldn't take advantage of that revenue stream. We are simply selling the product to local advertisers. The powers that be said, we are satisfied with a 2. Fast forward now, the business has changed. The way we monetize things has changed. Music radio has changed. the talk format has gotten much more popular. We've moved to FM. We've moved to podcasts. We have live streaming. We have an app. Now we get a 25 share.
If we got a 2 share, we'd all
be fired. If we got a 2 share, we'd be gone tomorrow.
They wouldn't even say goodbye. We would like walk out of the studio and they would show us the open door to the parking lot and say, that's where you go. We'll see you never.
Right.
Like they just, so that's how much this has changed over that time period.
It would not be acceptable today to have 4 hours worth of local programming.
No. Well,
you would die.
That's why you would get, and again, for people not in our business, that's fine, but that's why those stations don't get a ton of ratings. Is because, yeah, they can put on a product fairly cheaply, but then advertisers know, people know. The only people listening to that are people who just kind of want to hear general sports talk. They're not as invested. They're not as passionate about whatever's going on locally. Having local shows allows you to develop personalities, themes.
And it's there. We still run ESPN radio programming on the AM dial.
You can go listen to it right now.
You can go to 1460 on the AM dial. It is right there. And I can tell you, because we see the ratings, nobody's listening.
Yeah. It's also available at 97.1 FM HD2.
Sure.
I am contractually held at gunpoint to tell you that's also where you can hear it
and
if you'd like to.
On the fan app.
That's
you can
there you go. There's
toggle
the third
between
place.
All the stations that we have.
Yeah. So that's fine. If that's what you'd prefer to hear, that's totally cool. But
so
this is a very different product than ESPN.
Cowherd went away. We ran Dan Le Batard for a little while.
That was probably a tipping point.
Local audience did not like Dan Le Batard.
I personally think Dan Le Batard and that show has done a tremendous job. They built a great brand.
They've grown into it, though. They've grown into it.
They did, yes, but they were a local show that then became a national show, but they still sounded very much like a local show. So
yes.
If you lived in Miami, they were extremely popular in South Florida.
It sounded just like a Miami show.
Right. You're putting a Miami local drive time talk show on in Norman, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
It's that's going to, the people in Oklahoma may not care about as much of the stuff that they're talking about in Miami.
It didn't work there. It didn't work here.
No.
The numbers cratered. We needed to do something. And so at that time, I think that's when Tim and Beanie came on.
I think you're right. Because they needed something to fill that time. And that was the start of us having more local programming.
Yes.
Branching that out, which we needed to do.
So
and I'm glad we did.
Since then, we've always had local programming starting at 9.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
Since that. And then when...
Well, actually, it probably was 10. Because remember, Mike and Mike went to 10.
Oh, did they go to 10?
They used to.
Yeah, that's right.
Then I think we started covering the... I don't remember.
Yeah, because when Bo and James started, it was just 10 to noon.
That's right, yes.
And then they went to 9.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. So then that morning show got broken up. We probably had outgrown syndicated radio in the morning anyway.
Yeah.
You know, Golic and Wingo was the show. Didn't do numbers. They were going to switch it again to whatever the hell else they did once they kicked Wingo to the curb.
Yeah,
and we decided
that was
station,
the point where, no.
We got to do something locally.
Well, and all the other shows that we had locally on at that time were doing much better than the syndicated stuff. So they said, okay, well, this clearly shows there's an audience for local talk. So they've added now morning show, and that's now you have the full lineup that we have.
Can I tell you something, though, guys? I could do 2 hours on this. I mean, I've just scratched the surface on the oral history. I will not, because that's not what most of you want to hear, but I hope I at least answered part of that question.
Sure.
More Wild Card Wednesday, and we'll look at the biggest flops of all time coming up next. Common Man and T-Bone on The Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
You'll find a couple of minutes slowdown on westbound 70 downtown between the 71 east and west split. And there's an accident that's blocking the right turn lane on southbound Hilliard Rome Road at Fisher Road. Emergency crews are on scene, and we have slow traffic on northbound 71 on the north side between 670 and 11th Avenue. This report is sponsored by Direct Auto. Safe Auto Insurance is now Direct Auto Insurance. New name, same lowdown payments. Go to directauto.com for a free quote. I'm Nicole for 97.1. The Fan Traffic.
Barely famous, incredibly stupid. Back to Man and Bone.
Guys, I'm serious. I could do a whole show
on the
oral history of The Fan. I have not even scratched the surface. There was a time that we decided to break the ESPN radio contract and yank Dan Patrick off the air. And they gave me a show. So I was hosting with Spielman from 12 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would go to Dan Patrick at 1 o'clock for 2 hours before we hit our local afternoon show at 3. And they said, well, we want to get rid of Dan Patrick. So, Mike, you host a show. And I said, well, can we are contractually obligated to run the Stan Patrick Show. It is in our ESPN radio contract. And I remember the PD at the time said, oh, man, I can get us out of that. I'll break it.
I don't know who that PD is with the accent you're doing right there.
I'll break it. Okay.
And then how'd that go?
So then I do the show with Spielman.
Mm-hmm.
I do the two-hour solo show, which is a pain in the ass because hosting with a guy like Spielman is completely different from hosting a solo show. So you have to get your mind straight.
Yeah.
You like hosting two different shows every single day.
I've not played in many bands, but I can imagine being a solo artist versus playing in like an ensemble is probably like two very different parts of your brain that have to function to do that.
I did this for 3 weeks, and then I had a scheduled vacation. So I go down to Florida. I'm with Kristen down in Florida. I'm shopping at a mall down there. I get a call. Voicemail. Call me right away from the program director.
Mm-hmm.
And so I call him right away. Yeah, ESPN sued us. We got to take a show off. I told you.
I can break that contract anytime I want.
I told you
that's what
this was going to happen. I know. I didn't know they were going to sue us. I know. But see, now here's the deal. Now you make me look like an a-hole.
Yeah, because you're the one on the air.
Because I'm the one on the air.
That's the amount of times we have had, and I'm not saying like you or I specifically. I'm just saying in radio, people in radio, if you hear something at times on a radio station and go, that sounds stupid. Why are they doing that? There is at least a 50-50 chance the person who is doing the stupid thing on the air is saying the same thing you are.
Yeah, why are we doing this?
But they are told they have to do it, and they go do it, and then they feel like an idiot. They know they sound like an idiot. The bosses are high-fiving each other as the station lights itself on fire, and then a few weeks later, everybody goes, oh, man, turns out that's a dumb idea. Yeah, go figure. Listen to your people who told you it was a bad idea in the first place. You've had that happen. I've had that happen. So many people in this business have had that happen, and it's, again, it's Cry Me a River. We're not working in a coal mine or anything, I know, but it is something that is annoying about this business.
I'll tell you what we should do this summer sometime, because we just got a text from the one and only Uncle Bo Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
He said, anytime you want to do a true show where it's an oral history of the fan, I will come down there and join you, and we will speak our truth for 3 hours.
You know what? If we can...
I'm going to take him up on it.
If we can hook that up on the schedule, I would love that, because he's got stories you would not believe.
There's only one person here who gives less F's than me.
That's
and it's Bo Bishop.
That's right. Yeah.
So get ready for that show.
Yeah. To that point, there's just stupidity that happens in this business that I'm sure if you go to an accountant, they've got stupid corporate stories as well. But in our business, everyone hears it. They see it. And then the people who are not responsible for it sometimes are the ones delivering you the stupid programming, and they hate it.
One boss that wanted to pit the hosts against each other.
Yes.
Which makes for a fantastic working relationship.
Thing. That's a big thing in radio where it's like, can you two fight?
Well, no,
even though you don't want to?
They hold these meetings like, hey, teamwork, we're all part of the same team. That same guy came up to me and Bone and discreetly handed us the salary information for somebody else who was working here at the fan.
Yep.
This is what this person's making. Now go ahead and spread the gossip.
Yeah. And we both were like, are you kidding?
Well, I don't want to know this.
No, I don't need to know
it. I don't need to know. Go in there. Close the door. Because he wanted to run this other person out. So he thought if we took his salary information and spread it around the building, then somehow this would become an untenable work situation for him. And the person he didn't like would quit. Because he didn't have the balls to fire him.
We have also had bosses who grabbed us after a show because we put our foot down a couple times and said, we're absolutely not doing this. This is bad for business, what you want to do. We put our foot down and said no. We were pulled off the air, not off the air, like as soon as we got done, we walked back to our desks with our show right at 6 o'clock. And this particular program director grabbed us and said, come into my office, shut the door. So we knew we were in trouble. We didn't know for what. And he proceeded to tell us, I can get someone at the grocery store to do your job and get the same, you know, ratings and whatever entertainment value.
I look forward to listening to that show tomorrow.
I mean, flat out to our faces. And we said, good luck.
Enjoy.
The grocery. We worked next to a grocery store.
We'll go help you. I'll go scout talent for you at the grocery store.
And so we said, go on over there. There's a couple people standing outside pushing carts around. Go talk to them. And again, he might be right. There might be someone at the grocery store you could find that could be entertaining and funny. I'm sure there could be. But you found us. You like us. You seem to think we do a good job on 95% of the other stuff. When we put our foot down for the 5% we don't want to do, just know it's not for nothing. There's a reason why we don't want to do it. And eventually, he did not go to the grocery store and we did not have to do the thing.
I will say this. And you know I'm not one to blow smoke.
All right? Yes.
Program Director Fish, who's our program director now, best PD I ever had.
Absolutely. Well, you've had more than I have. But in my short time of working with him, yes, I'm with you on that. The only rival he has in my book for me has been a guy I worked with early on in my career who also was like the station technician and the music director and a host and a program. Like he had to do everything because I worked at a low budget station. That guy and Fish are the two best people I've worked with in this business, bar none.
Let's talk about the biggest flops of all time. Man, I sorry for wasting everybody's time.
It's not
with stuff they don't care about.
We could the stories we have, buddy.
But this is a podcast, right?
I'm sure
nobody wants
it is.
To hear about this crap.
I'm sure it is.
But I'm just saying, you sit me, you, Bo Bishop down in a studio.
Oh,
we'll
my God.
Melt the walls.
Yeah, with the stupidity we've
seen
here.
We'll melt the walls.
Yeah.
And can I tell you something? The three of us, we're still here.
Yeah.
All those other people, grab some bench. Gone. Either from the job or this earth.
Well, you know what? In one case, I think that's correct. Cucho Divot said, can the full oral history of the fan be the next Man and Bone Uncensored podcast? That may just be what it
be
is.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. those people may come back and try to get us fired if we do
the ones that
fully
are
fully uncensored.
No,
yeah.
Come on. They can't do anything.
I don't think so.
Hell with them.
Yeah.
Biggest flops of all time, I swear. Next, Common Man and T-Bone on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
You're going to hit a couple minute delay on eastbound 270 on the north outer belt between 315 and 23. And we've got an accident that's blocking the right lane on westbound 161 after Hamilton Road. Police are on scene there causing some slowdown. This report is sponsored by Taco Bell. Taco Bell is introducing the new Cantina Chicken menu with a new Cantina Chicken burrito, quesadilla, bowl, and tacos featuring their new slow roasted chicken. Try the new Cantina Chicken menu today at a participating U.S. Taco Bell location while supplying last. Contact store for participation, which varies. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Murdering brain cells one show at a time. Back to Man and Bone.
Colin Man and T-Bone brought to you by the Hinder Motor Company. It is Wild Card Wednesday. All right, let's stay on track now.
Well, that's fair enough.
Stay on track.
People have been saying they would like us to do. Patrick said, I definitely listen to a fan war stories podcast.
You're not ready.
Said, that's what it seems like they sound like.
You are not ready. I'll tell you what. It has been a wild ride for 20 plus years for me at this radio station. And there were more than a few times where I'd packed up my desk and said, I ain't never coming back.
Including one time where I texted my wife and said, I don't know if I'm going to have a job after today.
It wasn't because of you.
No. It was because you were in the office with the
boss,
with the bag.
We're done.
And I said, I don't know what's going to happen here. But Patrick, he did say, I'd like to hear that podcast with Man, Bone, and Bo Bishop.
We'll do it.
But he said, after an hour, it may just degenerate into Mike and Bo yelling at each other over domed stadiums. And then he said, with a laughy face. And that's right. Bo is pro-dome stadium, I believe. Pro-dome.
Restaurantnews.com. This is what I was reading today. The seven biggest fast food menu item flops.
Okay.
Okay.
This is right up our alley.
I don't remember some of these, but number one makes me happy.
Okay.
Number seven, McDonald's mixed spaghetti.
Oh, I don't recall that at all.
Yes.
When did they do that?
Mixed spaghetti. I don't know when they did it. It doesn't say.
Okay.
But I'm looking at a picture of it right now. It looks effing disgusting.
It looks like it's in a chicken nugget box.
Yeah, it's terrible. But they put cheddar cheese on top of it too.
All right, no.
Number six, KFC double down sandwich. Now
I remember the double down.
Yeah, and here's why it's a flop, because they didn't go enough. Mm-hmm. Crazy. They didn't go crazy enough is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Two breasts of chicken, fried breasts with bacon, cheese, and a little sauce in the middle. Two flaccid strips of bacon. No.
No.
If we're really going to go all the way here, I want a mountain of bacon. I want cheese goo flowing out of the breasts. That's what I want.
Sure.
I want sauce dripping down my chin. I don't want something that's 900 calories.
No, make it 1900.
9,000 calories.
Now, I do think they should have, with Double Down, the first thing I thought of when they made that was, why do I want to grab scalding hot fried chicken? Like, fried chicken. Are you aware of fried chicken? It comes out of a deep fryer that is well over 300 degrees. So it's going to be, for a few minutes afterwards, still raging hot.
It should be.
Yes. So then that's why when you put it on a bun, the bread is just room temperature bread. So even if it heats up a little bit, it's not going to get to 200 degrees or whatever that stuff is when it comes out. So why not just have the Double Down as was and then put a bun around it? And then I get even more and then guess what? You've got more places for goo and toppings.
More places for goo. By the way, the new name of my indie band is Room Temperature Bread.
I would listen to Room Temperature Bread.
All right, number five, Jack in the Box Frings. We don't have Jack in the Box here.
I wish we did.
To relieve hungry customers from having to choose between onion rings and French fries, Jack in the Box created Frings.
Oh, so like a straight onion ring?
The fast food franchise expected Frings to be the 70s hottest new treat, but it turned out to be its biggest failure. All right, you know what? I don't know it, but...
Can I tell you? Burger King is doing a thing that is not Frings, but they're on this. Because people don't want it. They're saying if you don't want to choose, you can mix and match.
Well, that's fine.
Which then you get some fries and some onion rings, and I'm all about that. But I don't want a mixture of it.
Number four, the Dairy Queen Breeze, which I actually do remember. Do you remember this? From 1990.
Maybe. I don't off the top of my head.
So back then, like 90, late 80s, all these restaurants said, how do we get people who are trying to be health conscious to still come eat our swill?
Okay.
McDonald's came out with the McLean Deluxe, which tasted like a coaster.
Yes.
All right, it was like good. 91% lean beef mixed with seaweed in the patty.
Mm,
it's disgusting.
Sure.
And so Dairy Queen said, hey, instead of the blizzard, we'll make the breeze.
Oh, because it's not as windy.
Non-fat yogurt.
Oh, right.
And just a few little mix-ins.
This was when
no one cared.
Froyo was such a big deal where people were like, you can have your ice cream, but have it as frozen yogurt. And then when you'd go to remember TCBY?
Yes.
Wasn't that a big Froyo place?
Yeah.
What did they do when you got there? They put all the toppings on it anyway,
yeah.
Which I approve of. It's delicious. But if you're trying to eat healthy and then they chop up some kind of chocolate bar, put that in there with chocolate syrup and whipped cream. At some point, it doesn't matter what frozen confection is in there. It's all still going to be a lot of calories and a lot of sugar.
Number three, Chipotle queso cheese dip.
Here's
what they say.
That did not go over well.
Chipotle's queso blanco dip is one of its most popular offerings, but the fast food brand flopped its way to get there. In 2017, Chipotle's first attempt at queso cheese dip was not well received on social media, with an unsatisfied customer calling it a crime against cheese. After 2 years of trying to improve the disappointing sauce, Chipotle turned their flop into a winning menu item.
Yeah, they had to go through multiple iterations before it finally got to where it is now. But it was, yes, I remember when that came out, I was so disappointed in it too.
Number two, Burger King's enormous omelet sandwich.
I don't recall this.
At 730 calories and 47 fat grams, the nutritionally hazardous sandwich, two eggs, a sausage patty, two slices of cheese, and three strips of bacon, met its demise in 2005. I don't remember that at all. But I'm not a Burger King customer.
I am. I'm looking it up. I'm trying to see what it looks like.
This is my favorite one, though. Number one, A&W, the 1/3 pound burger. Here's the description.
Okay.
When A&W released its 1/3 pound burger to compete with McDonald's popular quarter pounder, it completely confused customers. According to research, customers had the incorrect perception that a quarter pound burger is larger than 1/3 of a pound.
So,
So really, this item flopped because people are stupid.
Right.
This item, that's what this really is.
All those commercials where they're like, we're 27th in math across the world. Our country is failing at math and education. Burger King's like, or who is this?
McDonald's.
A&W, whatever. We can attest to that because we made a burger that was bigger, but fractions are
people
hard.
Thought it was smaller.
That is so funny. That a quarter pounder they thought was, that's, man.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I get that? There's not as much value. No. You're getting more burger. No, it's not. It's less. I don't understand how numbers work. I see a four. That's bigger than three,
mm-hmm.
except in fractions where it's the inverse. Also, I did look up the omelet, enormous omelet sandwich.
Yeah.
I lied. I actually had this.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I forgot all about this. It was, you know, the chicken sandwich, the original chicken sandwich with the long bun?
Yeah.
That's what they put, like a couple of eggs on it, a couple sausage patties, the bacon, the cheese. I mean, it's just a lot of food. It was fine. I don't remember it being particularly gross.
I mean, you clearly don't yearn for it.
No, I don't miss it. But, I mean, it was a lot of egg. Well, a little too much egg for me.
It just says two eggs.
That was a lot of egg, though. A lot of egg.
All right, ESPN had a bit of a problem last night. Details next. Colin Mann and T-Bone on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
There's some stop-and-go traffic that's causing a 10-minute delay on northbound 71 on the north side between 670 and 11th Avenue. And we've got a 5-minute slowdown on westbound 670 between Grandview Avenue and I-70. This report is sponsored by Allstate. You're in good hands. Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate, not one based on anyone else. So if you drive safely, you could save money. Good to know. Visit Allstate.com or call for a quote today. I'm Nicole for 97.1. The Fan traffic.
Come for the obesity, stay for the anger. This is Common Man and T-Bone.
Bone and I do all our banging at Hollywood Casino Columbus, specifically their 12,000 square foot sports book. It is the place to be. As a matter of fact, that's what we call it.
The place to be?
The place to be.
Yeah.
Where the action happens.
It's the only place we like to get our action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No rules, just right.
That's not their slogan. I don't think that's their slogan. Someone else may have done that before. Could be wrong.
You know what another one is?
What's that?
For the casino? Got milk.
Is that so? I don't think it is.
It's what's for dinner.
Hollywood Casino?
Yes.
Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino is what's for dinner?
It can be. Mm. They have food and drink there.
They sure do.
It's a wonderful place to go and take the family. I know what you're saying. Kids can't go there.
You're an adult family.
Yes, but what I like to do, I did this. It was easier when my kid was a baby. I would strap her to my stomach internally.
Why?
Then put clothes on and then sneak her in.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was a good luck charm with the slots.
Okay.
Her little baby arm would come out and grab that lever. Sometimes she'd say,
Daddy, I can't breathe. I said, shut up, Daddy needs to play the slots.
Yeah, now stick your baby arm out. Slot machine again. Yeah.
That's right.
But we're not talking about the slot machines, although they're great.
You can do that too.
Yeah. But we love the sports book at Hollywood Casino. That's where we like to go to do our banging, to watch our favorite sports, to eat and drink our favorite food and beverages, and of course, to attempt to win some cash.
Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. So ESPN had a little bit of a problem last night. So I'm watching the Rangers and the Hurricanes. Game's tied at 3 with 49 seconds left to go. You know,
that's kind of what
crunch time.
I was going to say, in the business, it's known as crunch time.
Yeah.
Yes.
So tied at 3, 49 seconds left to go. I'm on the edge of my seat. I got my daughter taped to my stomach because we still do it just for bonding activities.
Tape her to your stomach.
And all of a sudden, they cut out, goes to black, and then they cut to the introductions of the Stars Avalanche game.
Oh, my.
And I was like, well, what the hell's going on? And obviously, I went on social media right away, and everyone is losing their minds. Now, thankfully, they caught it, and so they were only gone for about 17 seconds. And then they went right back to the Rangers-Hurricanes game. But can you imagine if somebody had scored a goal during that time? Can you imagine?
Well, my thought initially goes to if you're a Rangers or Canes fan, right? Like you're watching this very tough game. Your team, you're obviously invested in the outcome of this game.
And there's no local broadcast anymore for this stuff.
No.
So you're watching ESPN.
And then any fan base would have these reactions, right? I can only imagine that's just enough time, 17 seconds to go, wait, what happened? Why is it gone?
And the Rangers run a power play.
Right, yeah. And then you see another game starting, and that's where your mind goes, holy bleep, and you start, at least me, I would be cussing out my television going, what the F is going on? What's wrong with you dummies? Get it back. And then right as you're getting yourself almost to the point of probably, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel goes black and you just fade into oblivion because you have a heart attack, you stroke out. Then they're like, oh, sorry, here you go. And they put your game back on and they bring you back from the brink.
Also last night, Cardinals catcher Wilson Contreras had his arm broken by a J.D. Martinez swing.
Now,
he was also called for catcher interference. So how about them apples? You break your arm and called for catcher interference.
Yeah. So I saw the video of this and it's not, I only looked at it once. It does not look like you don't see anything graphic happen, but he gets his arm hit by the bat in a full swing.
He's in definite pain.
And then he gets up and is, you know, very much in distress and they obviously have to tend to him and they get him out of the game. Then I saw a still photo of him right before the swing, and it was illustrating something that I think I'm surprised this doesn't happen more, because what is the goal of every hitter in Major League Baseball these days? They are trying to get as much time to see the velocity of these pitches as they can, right? They want every bit of that to be able to figure out with guys you got now. What do we say? There's like 60 guys in Major League Baseball that top 100. Mm-hmm. It used to be like two. Now it's, and not like used to 50 years ago, 50, I'm talking, it was two people, maybe like 10 years ago. Now you got two on every staff, basically. So guys are moving back in the box. Catchers, meanwhile, are trying to frame every pitch. And there's moving on these pitches. You want to snatch it as close as you can to the plate because you want to frame it for the umpire to call it a strike.
It's a delicate dance, Bone.
Right. I mean, I know this is something they probably always have done, but for example, I remember listening to Pete Rose talking to Alex Rodriguez when they were both on Major League Baseball, one of the broadcasts they were doing. And he was basically talking with A-Rod about how, what would you do when you were in a slump? And A-Rod would say, well, I would do this. And then Pete would say, yeah, I did that too. I'd also do this. But they both would talk about moving up in the box, moving around in the box, trying to get different places. Because again, both those guys came up in an era where you were supposed to get a hit, not get exit velo, right? Now you have so many different things that is going into being a hitter. I feel like you probably see more guys further back in the box. Don't have any statistical evidence to back that up. But I'm surprised this doesn't happen more because you've got so many, you know, conflicting interests happening there where guys are moving back to get a better look at the ball. Catcher's moving forward to frame it better. And then you get a situation like this, and that's just awful.
Can we talk more about food now?
Please.
All right.
Common Man and T-Bone have very little value unless they're telling you about all the crap they can shove in your mouth so you can die quicker. It's time for Fat Boy Food Tip. Wait, how do you want me to say it? Tip? 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 This is dumb. I quit.
All right, first little news and notes thing for you. I saw that Panera is going to stop selling the charged lemonade. Their lemonade full of caffeine. I guess enough people died where they blinked. But
I don't think,
come on, pansies.
Were people dying over this?
Somebody died, I think.
Oh, okay.
Somebody had a caffeine overdose and their heart exploded.
Yeah, I mean, they do. Because I've gone to Panera to get, I was in the Sip Club there for a little bit. The Sip?
Yep.
Yeah. And they have on the app, on the window, on the menu board, whenever
Skull
it says,
crossbones.
Well, they have like the charged lemonade and they're like, please be aware, there is caffeine in this.
No,
do not give
died.
It to your child.
Some girl died who had a heart condition. She drank it and she didn't realize it was caffeine in it.
Sure.
And so she can't drink caffeine
not,
and then she's dead. Well. And so Panera has said, all right, we're going to phase this out.
Good idea.
So maybe you can still find it and almost die, but it will go away.
Yeah.
I saw this headline today. It made me laugh. I'm a fast food chicken nugget expert. Here are the best, ranked by taste.
Okay.
Well, how else are we ranking them?
By appearance?
The way they feel in your hands?
By cost?
All right, anyway. So here, this is what this is. Ready?
Yeah.
Number 7, Popeyes.
You know what? Never had their chicken nuggets.
I've had the chicken nuggets.
I've had their tenders.
They're good. They're fine. I'll take a tender any day.
Yeah.
Number six, Burger King.
I mean, I like their nuggets. I don't know if they're that good.
They said not to be confused with the chicken fries. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about the nuggets.
Who would confuse the two? A nugget and a fry are two very different things.
The taster reported that their order showed up dark and overcooked.
Okay.
Dark and overcooked.
Yeah. I mean, I've not experienced that at Burger King, but I can see how that would affect the taste a bit if that's what happened.
Number five, Shake Shack. I have had the Shake Shack nuggets before, and like everything at Shake Shack, that too. There is sticker shock at the Shack.
Yeah.
Because six of these things are $7.
Ooh, what?
And they're fine. I would compare them almost to Popeye's nuggets. They're fine.
I hope they're the size of like a chicken thigh.
No.
Okay.
They're bite size.
No, man. Number one, I personally, did you get it as a side?
Yes.
Okay, I was going to say, because there's no way I'm going to Shake Shack and not getting a burger and fries. And then, throw the nuggets in too, but oof, that's a lot.
Number four, KFC, which I have not had their nuggets. I can't attest to it.
I've had their, are we talking popcorn chicken?
No, it says nuggets.
Well, yeah, then I haven't had those. I've had their popcorn chicken, and I like their popcorn chicken, but not in place of like actual nugget places.
Number three, McDonald's.
All right, I'm sorry. They have to be one or two.
Oh, well, hold on.
I will only accept two answers for one or two, and McDonald's is one of the two.
Okay,
the other one better be on here. As
you know,
I'm number one.
I'm a big fan of McDonald's nugget. I must confess, though, I was a bigger fan before they switched to the all white meat.
Oh, I'm with you.
I liked it better when it was more lips and asses in there.
Well, also, why? When did we decide all white meat was the way to go? Dark meat is chicken thigh. Chicken thigh is the... If you're not cooking chicken thighs when you're making chicken, what are you doing?
But there's
superior meat.
Like, my wife won't eat it unless...
I need to know it's all white meat.
Why?
I don't know why. I want to divorce her because of it. She's a nut.
What is wrong with dark meat?
I don't know what to tell you. Nothing's wrong with it.
Dark meat's great. Oh, I love dark meat.
All right, number two, Wendy's.
Okay. I need
All right.
That was going to be the one I was going to say should be one. If we're not putting McDonald's at one, then it should be Wendy's at one. So I'm very concerned about where we're going.
Number one is Chick-fil-A nuggets, which I also have not had.
I actually have had them, and I have forgotten that they are great.
You don't have a problem with any of this.
All right. They're top three, because then, you know what? I would put Chick-fil-A in my top three of those they mentioned. So this guy or gal jumbled the order of the top three, but got them spot on.
Eight pieces.
Oh, it's expensive.
$9.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't do that often. I mean, if I'm going to Chick-fil-A, 9 times out of 10, I'm getting the sandwich.
Yeah.
Where I've had it, though, is when you get the platter. Like, graduation season is upon us. People have grad parties. That's one of those things you will sometimes see at a graduation party as one of the catered items if you're not going like all out, doing it at your house. That's a pretty good option because it's chicken that's good. People like all the dipping sauces. I've had that at multiple graduation parties over the years, and it's a solid option. But that's where I first experienced it and realized these are really good.
Was Ric Flair at the graduation party urinating all over himself?
No. By the way, I have something for Fatboy Food Tip that I forgot to bring up. I didn't know we were doing these nuggets.
We got it. We got to take a break.
Okay. When we come back,
we got to take a break.
I have an epic callback story of a game we like to play called What's in the Bag?
What's in the Bag?
Yeah.
Epic.
One of our listeners had a What's
you
in the Bag.
Want it all.
It's a great What's in the Bag.
Okay. Bone with his epicness and more Wild Card Wednesday. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
You'll hit some slow traffic if you're on westbound 270 on the north outer belt between Westerville and Cleveland Avenue. And we have another slowdown on eastbound 33 between 270 Southeast and Ebright Road. This report is sponsored by Taco Bell. Taco Bell is introducing the new Cantina Chicken menu with a new Cantina Chicken burrito, quesadilla, bowl, and tacos featuring their new slow roasted chicken. Try the new Cantina Chicken menu today at a participating U.S. Taco Bell location while supplies last. Contact store for participation, which varies. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
You wanted the best. Instead, you got these two. This is Common Man and T-Bone.
Happy Wednesday. It is Wild Card Wednesday. You can tweet us at manandbone971. You can text the burner phone, 614-787-3093. Bone wanted to share something epic with us.
Well, this is a Fat Boy food tee-up to a degree, but it's also more of a what's in the bag kind of situation. Jacob texted us and said yesterday he had an all-time experience at Taco Bell.
Okay.
He said he ordered a double stack, which is a great taco that they do, a spicy potato, and just one cheesy double beef burrito. That's a nice snack.
A nice combo. I like that.
Yeah, I like that. It's a good snack size kind of combo for guys like you and me, but that's a good meal.
Yeah. What you're saying is fat asses.
Well, he proves his fat ass status here in a moment.
My mother-in-law would eat that over 3 days.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So he says, I got a bag that weighed significantly more than what I thought those three items should.
And did he correct the issue?
No.
No. No. And he shouldn't.
He took what they gave him.
They handed you the bag.
Yep.
It is not your job to do their job.
Exactly right. So then he drove away, got to where he could look at the food.
That's an anticipating drive, isn't it?
Yeah. And he found he had not one cheesy double beef burrito. But eight cheesy double beef burritos.
Yeah. Please tell me he ate them all.
Well,
please tell me.
I said, that's an all-timer. He replied and said, I couldn't down them all, but I shamefully downed five.
So we had the double-decker.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if they gave him any of his other food.
He only got eight burritos.
So for more context, he said the person ahead of him ordered $60 worth of food. So two combos now at Taco Bell. It basically is $60 worth of food.
Come on. It's not Shake Shack.
I know. But he ordered $60 worth of food, whoever's in front of him. So when he got to the window, they seemed flustered.
Mm-hmm.
So he thinks what happened was that was part of the $60 order that they forgot. And that was the next bag in the line. And they just handed him a bag that was meant for the car ahead of him. Not for him. So his order is probably still sitting there.
Can I do an old man thing for a second?
Sure.
We were doing a list of the tastiest nuggets at fast food places. We weren't doing this list. Somebody else did.
Someone
this
made
list.
It. You read it.
And they had Chick-fil-A as number one. And people are surprised that I've never had the nuggets at Chick-fil-A. Well, I don't go to Chick-fil-A a ton. And so I don't go there enough to download and use the app.
Okay.
At least I don't think so. Maybe I should start doing that anyway.
Right.
So, and I understand they're trying to be super helpful, but when I pull up to Chick-fil-A, I'm instantly greeted by a person, right?
I know.
And they're like, hi, we're going to get you. But I have no time to peruse, like, is there a special on the menu board? I can't see the menu board.
Dude.
Because they're greeting me beforehand. So I usually just blurt out spicy chicken combo with a diet and some ketchup in the bag because I don't know what else to get.
Dude, it is one of my biggest reasons why I don't go to Chick-fil-A more often is have you ever heard the term toxic positivity? That's Chick-fil-A. Like, I'm not saying you're not being nice. You're the nicest people I've ever met at a fast food place.
Very, very nice.
Bar none. I got all that. There's also a million people working there at a given time.
Well, like Culver's is very nice.
Yeah.
But I feel like they don't go overboard with it.
No.
And you can peruse the menu board.
Well, and either way, you're waiting for your food, right? Whether you're Chick-fil-A or you're Culver's. You're waiting in a very long line at Chick-fil-A often, or at Culver's, they'll have you drive up, they'll give you the little number, the little card thing, and you sit there in your window down, and they'll eventually bring you your food because they're making it fresh, which I appreciate. But what I'm saying about Chick-fil-A, even though everyone there is extraordinarily nice, it does feel a bit like a club you have to know a lot about. So like if you go there infrequently and you don't always know, like I forget that they have that, what do they call their ice cream stuff there? Like their ice.
I don't know. I've never had it.
My wife laughed at me once because she told me to order an ice dream. And I think that's what they call their ice cream there. And then I, in the speaker said to the, this was back when I was at a speaker at Chick-fil-A before they put like a whole drive through, boardwalk there. I said ice cream and the person goes, or I said ice cream, I'll take and one small ice cream. And she goes, okay, one small ice dream. And I said, are you saying ice dream? My wife's laughing at me because she thought, how do you not know this is what it's called? That's how infrequently I go there. If I'm not with her, I don't go there by myself a lot. The kids like it. She likes it. I am fine with it. It's good. But I don't go very often, so I'm with you. If I don't see the menu board, I'm going to just default to what I usually get.
Well, plus, they sometimes they have a spicy or a special sandwich, but I don't necessarily know that.
Oh, I
don't go in with the plan.
I hate that when I'm up at the window, or not the window, at the board. I've already ordered 10 minutes ago. I'm still creeping through, and suddenly I'm like, oh, they've got this new menu item or this other thing they're doing or a special. You could have got two of these sandwiches for almost the price I paid for the one. And I didn't know because I'm like you. I'm not using their app.
All right. Wild Card Wednesday. This is from the burner. Danny asks, if the radio station were to have a bug/mice/bat infestation, would Common Man go remote indefinitely? Is there a cool down period he would wait or just simply quit? #PeePeeNoWorky.
That's a great question.
I'll tell you those. First of all, we've had bug situations before.
Hold on. What do you mean when you say bug situation?
We had in the old building. We had a ladybug infestation 1 year.
Where they were popping out of everywhere,
and I swear one just crawled out of my ass.
Yep.
All right. That's how frequently we had ladybugs just all over us, and that freaked me out. In this building, there was a cricket that was in here, and that was almost enough for me to quit.
One cricket. Not an infestation.
It was chirping
crickets
by my desk, and then we had to get production Bob to come over and cradle it because he can't crush the cricket.
No.
He's got to make love to it.
He picked it up and took it outside.
Yes.
Where it belonged.
But that cricket was enough for me to almost want to kill myself. We had, before you started working here, in the old building, there was a mouse. The mouse was spotted in the sales department.
Okay.
I locked myself in one of the edit bays.
Stop.
Yes.
Why?
I did. Because I'm terrified of infestation. I will not tolerate infestation.
But it's not it's one mouse.
How do we, where there's one, there's more,
you
baby.
You don't know that? No.
All right. Can I finish the story?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And so I locked myself in the edit bay and I essentially told someone out there, tell me when it's done. Tell me when you get it. Cause I'm not coming out of here until you tell me.
Wow. What if it took him days? You just wouldn't leave?
Someone else is hosting the show.
Well, I'm saying you would have just stayed there overnight? No way. You'd get out of the building because you wouldn't want to stay where the mouse is.
Locked in those small studios. They couldn't get to me.
Maybe. But mice have a way of going through the walls and stuff. I don't know if you know this. They don't have key cards to get into the building. That's how they find their way through.
We had a mouse when I was a kid, when I was a teenager. We had a mouse in the house. I saw it.
This is a Seuss book.
Mouse in the house.
It sounds like it.
And we couldn't catch it. Like it kept escaping my father.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so, it's time to go to bed. We'll see what we can do in the morning. Screw that. I slept on the deck. Now, tell me how psychologically that makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
Raccoons and possums out there and birds can land on my head. I decided I was safer sleeping on the deck in a lounge chair.
Of course.
That's how sick I am.
Yeah, man.
I'm a sicko.
I get it. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not like if I were to get like some kind of mouse in my room or in my house where I live, I wouldn't be just thrilled about it. I wouldn't be like, oh, look at the mouse. We're all friends. I would want to get the mouse out as well.
Welcome in, spread cheeky and say, come on.
Yeah.
Hop in.
I would definitely want to get the mouse out of there. But I also, in our household, I just had over the weekend a situation where there was a big spider upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my wife, to her credit, is trying to work through a fear of spiders. I mean, and I'm not saying like she doesn't like spiders. I'm saying we don't say the word spider in our house.
She's terrified.
Yes.
She's had some,
to be fair to her, some really bad experiences with spiders that are too boring. I won't detail it here, but she's had some bad stuff.
What kind of experiences?
She had roommates that like threw these things on her.
What the hell kind
in
of
college?
Roommates are
yes,
this?
Like I know
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, she went through some stuff.
Man, I hope she beat their ass.
I would have
took her tuba
I get
and
it.
Just beat them.
She didn't have a tuba. She played the drums.
Took her drumsticks and beat
there you
them.
Go. That would have been yeah. Anyway, so she's trying to get over killing spiders. Personal goals. So upstairs, I hear all three of our children and her, like, making noises that sound like problems are happening. Just,
Not enough for you to get up there, though,
well,
right?
I said, do you need my help? She goes, no, I'm going to get it.
We're fending off the rapist that's up here.
Next thing I know, My middle daughter, Ava, comes down, says nothing to me, grabs the vacuum cleaner, walks back upstairs.
Hey, man, they're problem solving. God bless them.
Right. So they're all trying to do this. I was in the middle of doing something else. I was making food. They were trying not to bother me. You know, like, I have all my hands are all greasy from making stuff. So they knew I couldn't really be of help without washing my hands and coming up there. They wanted to take care of the problem. So they did that.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard so many like screams of bloody murder up there. So I'm saying in our household, we don't like spiders. We don't we don't tolerate it. But I give her credit because she's actually trying to work through it.
All right. More Wild Card Wednesday fun is coming up next. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
You should watch for an accident on the left shoulder of eastbound 70 on the east side at James Road. Police are on scene there causing some delay, and you'll hit a 10-minute slowdown on northbound 71 on the north side between East Broad Street and 11th Avenue. This report is sponsored by Ohio Association of County Behavioral Health Authorities. Sometimes life can be overwhelming. Crisis Text Line can help. If you are struggling and feel like you can't talk to anyone about it, text 4HOPE to 741-741. Free confidential support. Crisis Text Line. Text 4HOPE to 741-741 now. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Attention. Please flip your listening device to the stupid setting. Thank you. You're listening to Man and Bone.
On campus, all the news and notes you need coming up at 4:48. Name dropping with Jeff Rimmer. 1 hour from now, it is Wild Card Wednesday.
Here's a couple. Your guy Duff says, Roosters has been my favorite restaurant for 20 plus years now. I recently realized I probably tried less than 10% of the total menu. I've never even had a chicken sandwich or burger there. Do you have restaurants you love but have barely tried? And then he goes on to say, P.S., other than wings, fries, and pizza, what else should I try at Roosters?
Roosters is one of them. I always get the same stuff. It's either bone in, bone out. I'll get dumpster fries.
Yep.
I will vary up the appetizers. I've tried the fried pickles. The thing I like about the fried pickles at Roosters is they do the fried pickle chips. I do not like the fried pickle spears.
Yeah, I can understand that.
There is a taste difference.
Well, you know what? Like a steak fry versus a hash brown. I'm not a big pickle guy, but I can see how if you had a giant steak fry or like a little tater tot or like a hash brown medallion type of thing. Those are very different taste profiles, even though they're both potatoes that are deep fried.
Now,
so yeah, I could see that.
I forgot to bring this to your attention. I actually was at Roosters this past weekend.
Okay.
And I only saw this after I ordered, which is something that I think the waiter or waitress should do a little bit better job of, is to alert you when there's something new.
Sure.
You know, because I just go in with a plan.
Of course.
I'm going to have my wings. I wanted garlic. I had a taste for the garlic sauce. Okay?
Yeah.
Extra blue cheese on the side for me. But one of my big problems at Roosters over the years has been the lack of two particular sauces that I like at B-Dubs. Mango habanero.
Okay.
And Parmesan garlic.
Sure.
Those are two sauces that I really enjoy getting at B-Dubs, and Roosters has never offered them. After I ordered, I saw a little test menu on the table with the condiments.
Oh, wow. I didn't
you know
they,
that little,
okay.
What do they call that thing?
Yeah, the little flap thing that has like a dessert on it or a drink special
or
whatever.
So they called it the test menu, and they had two new sauces to test, and it was mango habanero and Parmesan garlic.
Oh, man.
I can't wait to go back and try them both.
Right up your alley.
That's the thing that's been missing from my life.
Yeah. I you know what? That's a very good call by you, because I was not aware that they hadn't, that they've been adding new sauces like that. So I would go try that.
And I wasn't aware either. The waitress has to tell us.
Now, I don't know, have you ever tried at Roosters the wrap that they do?
No, Kristen's had it though.
I love their, it's like
good.
A spicy chicken wrap.
Yeah, it's good.
It's really good. And
because
they put
you can get your choice of sauce in there.
Yes, you can. And but I definitely would recommend, if you're like this guy Duff saying that, I would recommend trying that. I'm trying to think of restaurants where I've only had like the one thing. You know what? This is not the same type of thing, but Olive Garden. I go there. There's one thing I'm getting.
What's that?
I'm getting fettuccine alfredo with chicken. That's it. Like Tour of Italy? No. Anything else they have on the menu? I don't even know. That's it. I'm getting fettuccine alfredo. That's all I've ever had there.
How you doing, Timmy?
I'm doing good, boys.
I'm glad you're back.
I know. I'm glad
to be back.
How was your trip to Pebble Beach? Up and saw Timmy for the first time in a week, sitting there ready to pipe in, and it's such a good feeling to have you back, buddy.
No, California was great. It was great. As you can see, I've worn all of my Pebble Beach attire for my first day back at work, like a typical idiot would do. Yeah. What do you think it was for a quarter zip and a hat out there?
Well, total? Go ahead. 150.
No, more.
200.
Yeah, you're a moron.
$200?
Yeah.
You're a moron is what I think you just said. You're a moron.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, it's no car rental in Scotland.
No.
But
no,
that is something.
No, it's
let
not.
Let me back out for people who have not followed Tim Hall's life and don't know everything he has going on. Timmy went to Pebble Beach this weekend, went to California by yourself, got to play Pebble Beach. When was it, Sunday, that you got to play?
This was my Christmas gift slash 40th birthday present my wife.
That's a hell of
this
a present.
This was a total shock, total surprise. She gave it to me on Christmas morning. It was unbelievable. Man.
And her present was,
get out.
I'm not going with you.
you go alone. So this was the trip of solitude, the one-man band type of thing. It was unique. It was interesting. I really enjoyed it. You know, it was awesome. The golf was great. So, yeah, Saturday I played Spyglass Hill. Sunday morning I played Pebble Beach. The first couple days I was hanging out in San Francisco before I went down to that area. So I played a couple times, a couple San Francisco area courses as well to kind of fill out the trip. And, yeah, got the gear. Last thing on Sunday night, or I think it was actually Monday morning, I got the gear because that's when I checked out and had to drive back up there. And I got back at 3 in the morning on Tuesday.
And then what'd
the
you do?
Overnight flight from Phoenix, basically.
And then what'd you do yesterday?
Yesterday, I went out to Jack's place.
I heard.
And hit some balls.
That you,
man, must
I mean,
be nice,
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
Well, I didn't play, though. I just...
Oh, you just were there.
I just was there.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you played in the... yesterday was the media golf game.
Yes.
For those who are not aware, that's when a lot of the local celebs...
Yes.
Why didn't you, play?
I just didn't play. That's all.
Look,
I don't know why.
Is there a backstory?
I know.
There's no backstory.
I know absolutely why.
They were full. That's all.
He knew. He was like, I'm going to Pebble Beach. Why do I want to, you know, slum it around Jack's place?
I heard you say that, actually. I think it's what you said, right?
Hold on a second now. We got to get to the bottom of this.
I mean, Jack's favorite course is Pebble Beach.
Oh, is it really? I didn't even know that.
At least I heard him in an interview once say if there was one course I got to play, it would be Pebble Beach.
Okay. You host a radio show every day for thousands of people. Who's more important than you? You don't get to play in the media outing.
I don't make the rules.
Well, you know
okay?
what? Can I tell you something? I change the rules. I'm going to change them.
It would be great if you would change the rule.
Who was playing?
And a lot of people played.
I know Rothman was playing.
Who played from here?
You want me to kill him?
Rothman hosts a show too, so he's there. Who all played from here? Do we have anybody else? Was it just Rothman that we sent?
And did
he win?
He probably did. I didn't hear any stories from yesterday.
They keep score,
was,
right?
Was Scotty Vegas playing?
Yeah, he was there.
No. Unacceptable.
Unacceptable? No.
That Scotty Vegas takes up a spot and you don't get to play.
You should be
unacceptable.
Playing. You should be playing, Timmy.
You know what, Timmy? I'm going to do something about that. Unacceptable.
There we go.
Who else is playing?
The 10 TV crew was out there.
What do you mean the crew was
Dom
out there?
Dom and Adam.
All right. Dom can play. Adam cannot play.
I agree.
Adam?
I agree.
No, Adam's out.
You can't play unless you have pubes. He doesn't get to play.
Is King on every day? He's not on every day. Dom's like the main guy. And then King is like when Dom
Dom
does,
can play. I have no problem with Dom playing.
He's doing it 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dom's Dom.
Who else was there?
You've been on this market longer than King. So King's out, you're in.
True. And don't pretend like you didn't come on just to talk about this and get me all riled up, because now I'm pissed off.
I didn't even bring it up.
Did I bring it up?
No, he didn't. I did.
No,
I brought it up.
You did.
I actually
you're
did.
Like, hey,
where were you yesterday?
No. I actually, Tim, I thought, I figured because you were off yesterday, you're probably coming back from your trip, but I also thought, well, I figured you stopped by there and got to play. I didn't know you didn't get to play.
Timmy.
I honestly didn't know that.
Do I ever break my promises to you?
Never.
Have I ever broken a promise to you?
Never.
100%. You will be playing in this thing next year.
You were a social member. Well, you've got to get Beamer.
100%.
You've got to get Beamer back out there, too.
He wasn't out there either?
No.
Unacceptable.
What is going on?
Unacceptable.
What are we doing?
How? Unacceptable.
How are Beam and Timmy Hall not playing out there at the memorial?
You're right. It is.
Unacceptable.
Yeah.
It is.
Unacceptable.
I'm going to get to the bottom of that. You know what, Bodie? Host the rest of the show. I got people to yell at out there. On campus, coming up, Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
Watch for an accident on the right shoulder of southbound 315 at 3rd Avenue, causing a 10-minute slowdown and stop-and-go traffic from Ackerman Road. And there's a 15-minute delay on westbound 670 between Leonard Avenue and Neal Avenue. This report is sponsored by Ohio Association of County Behavioral Health Authorities. Sometimes life can be overwhelming. Crisis Text Line can help. If you are struggling and feel like you can't talk to anyone about it, text 4HOPE to 741-741. Free confidential support. Crisis Text Line. Text 4HOPE to 741-741 now. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Jen.
Highly medicated, barely educated. This is Common Man and T-Bone.
Happy Wednesday.
Oh, we're having fun here now.
We're pouring gasoline around the radio station today. I'll tell you what.
Well, between the fact that we started off the show by saying, we got Bo Bishop saying he wants to come in and he wants to do a show with us where we just light everybody that used to work here on fire who was a dumbass. And
you know I can't wait for that. I light some people that still work here on fire.
Well, we just found out they have a media game. A media game. Yes. Welcome to golf.
Media round.
A media round at the Memorial, which, by the way, this is not on the Memorial. This is not on Mirrorfield. They are great out there. They treat us awesome every time we go out there. No problems with them.
They give every single one of their media entities a certain amount of slots to come play on media day.
It's a beautiful thing. A wonderful privilege.
So it's not them excluding guys like Timmy Hall and Brandon Beam, who live for this stuff.
And by the way, who are on the air members of the media who this is supposed to be for. What it has ended up being, apparently, is all the brass here, all the suits upstairs are taking up spots that should be going to the on-air guys.
Because they want to play.
Well, I bet they do. But guess what? They get to play, I don't know, 50, 60 times a year while they're out there working, getting new clients for the radio station. That's one of the perks of being a sales guy is you get to play lots of golf courses all over Columbus.
I've taken care of it.
You have?
It's all done.
What happened?
Yes. I'm just saying, I went out there. Had a nice conversation with someone.
Oh.
It's all taken care of.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all done. Timmy, Beamer, you don't have to worry about it anymore.
I didn't, honest to God, I had no idea when we brought this up. I thought Timmy had gone and played.
I wish I knew about it.
I presumed he was just there. He was off yesterday. I figured I saw people at the media round.
Because now we have to wait a whole year to put this into practice, but it's been done.
Really?
It's finished.
Good.
There's a pile of bodies right outside there in the lobby. Please make sure to step over them as we go to our cars later.
Again, that's a perk of being like an on-air host. That's what you get to do. That's one of the few. Again, there's lots of perks to doing our jobs. I'm not saying it's bad. But in the case of like, you know, Brandon Beam's getting up at 4 a.m. to get in here to do his show. That's, you know, this is something that he would probably really like to do.
Beamer's got to get up early and deal with Bobby every single day. If there's not some hazard pay that should go along with that, I don't know what happens.
And then, I mean, Timmy deals with us all the time.
Timmy's doing all this other stuff. You're still talking about this? It's taken care of.
Timmy.
What did you do?
It's fixed. It's fixed. You'll have no problem playing next year.
Listen.
You'll have no plot problem.
If sound vibrations can remove paint from walls, he hit them in the last commercial break out there.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah. And so now that's done.
You and Beamer, I wouldn't be surprised if they named it after you. The honorary media round with Timmy Hall and Brandon Beam.
Look, Anthony damn near wins that thing every year.
Anthony should be there.
Rothman is
a huge golf guy. He lives for this. He's on the air.
And he's been a TV guy and a radio guy for two decades.
I was just going to say, Timmy, he is media royalty in this town. He absolutely should be out there.
Guys like Dom and Rothman, they should be there. You should also be there.
We found out, Timmy.
I mean, it was the Buckeye show.
Timmy, we found out some of the brass was taking your spots. So that will no longer be a problem.
Mm. Well, Dom did tell me yesterday that he would get me in there, and I told him, don't worry about it.
It's not a Dom.
I don't want you doing that.
Dom shouldn't have to. That's 10 TV. They've got their own people doing that. We get ours.
I know. But
we're making sure our on-air guys get taken care of for that.
He did tell me that because I was hanging out with him on the range. Because I went up there and just did like the, you know, they had like a little program at the beginning of the day. And Victor Hovland was on hand too.
Victor Hovland was there.
Defending champ.
Yeah.
Timmy, I would have given you like so many of my metal t-shirts if I'd have known. Oh my gosh.
I forgot about his infatuation with metal music.
Metal. Hey, yeah. Yeah.
When Dom told you he'd take care of it, did he take care of it or did I take care of it?
I told Dom not to take care of it. I specifically told him don't do anything. I don't care that much.
It's done. It's done.
Okay.
There's blood on the walls.
Obviously, I would like to play at Muirfield one time a year. Who the hell wouldn't? Who's a golf person? Right,
it's done.
Okay.
It's finished.
All right.
It's finished.
You're the common man, and you know people.
I may have Scotty Vegas as your caddy next year. On campus.
Common Man and T-Bones. On campus, the latest college sports news and notes.
Sponsored by Reverse Aesthetics. Don't let your dad bod hold you back anymore. Schedule your medical weight loss consult today.
Boner. Well, man, how about the curious transfer story of one Sam Heward? You might know that last name because maybe you've heard of Brock Heward.
Brock.
Yes.
Heward. Who
is Brock Heward is his uncle. Damon Heward is his dad. Both of those guys played at Washington as quarterbacks. Now, Sam Heward also played at Washington for 2 years where he was a backup. He was a former five-star recruit. All right? Now, the news comes out that he is going to be transferring to Utah. But he's not transferring to Utah from UW. No. Last year, he transferred out of Washington to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo.
Oh, nice.
Which, if you're saying, I don't recall them as a Division I FBS school, that is correct. They are an FCS school. So he went there where I believe he threw 185, 304 passes, 2,200 yards, 18 touchdowns, 10 picks. The Mustangs, as they're known, went 3-8 under his tutelage, under his guidance. However, yeah. Offensive coordinator at the time for this team was Sam Heward's high school coach, Sheldon Cross. So that's partially why he decided to go there. He had a year of that and said, enough's enough, back to Division I for me. Now he will be fighting for the backup job at Utah, where Cam Rising is still there as their quarterback. He will be competing with Brandon Rose and Isaac Wilson for that backup job. So Cam Rising, you might remember, has had had his knee injury that kept him out all of last year. In either case, he gets to hopefully for him come back this year. So I just found that interesting that Sam Heward has transferred all those different places. Let's talk about basketball and one of our favorite people. That would be Rick Pitino. We love him. He's great.
You love him.
St. John's coach has landed a couple of pretty decent transfers. First of all, he got a transfer from Utah, from the basketball program, obviously. Point guard Devian Smith has transferred in. He is now going to be an option for them, who was sixth in the country with 7.1 assists per game last season. That's pretty good. He's a fifth-year senior. He averaged 13 points and 6 rebounds to go along with those 7 assists. Pretty good college numbers, I would say. He also had 5 triple-doubles, most during a single season in NCAA history, most ever by any Pac-12 player. What is the Pac-12, you ask? I don't remember, I'm saying, because that's a conference that's over now, apparently. Anyway, he's only 6 foot tall, but Rick Pitino said that's a guy they want on their team. He also got another transfer in from Seton Hall. Kaderi Richmond also transferred in, a guy who was the number one player in the transfer portal. So Rick Pitino getting some guys up there at St. John's. We'll see if it works out.
All right, coming up next, I don't understand things that I thought that I understood, and Sasquatch had a bad day. We'll talk about that next. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
There's a 20-minute slowdown due to an accident blocking the left lane on eastbound 670 after International Gateway, and a 15-minute delay due to some stop-and-go traffic on northbound 71 on the north side between I-70 and 11th Avenue. This report is sponsored by Staples Stores. Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward, like banners, flyers, signs, and catalogs, some even same day. And now at Staples, save $50 on your print purchase of $150 or more. Offer ends 6/1. Visit staples.com/print for details. Staples, your local print and marketing expert. I'm Nicole for 97.1, The Fan Traffic.
Did you feel that? It's your radio getting fatter.
Getting fatter.
Chubby time!
This is Common Man and T-Bone.
All right. Happy Wednesday. It is Wild Card Wednesday. Now, here's a wild card for you. This is just from me to you. So So I was reading this story today on phys.org.
I love it.
P-H-Y-S.org. It's a science physics website.
Sorry. I thought we were talking about Faygo and like the stuff that makes soda pop.
No.
Fizzy. No. I didn't know it was actually like the first part of physics.
Okay. .org. And I was actually watching this on BBC News this morning. They're talking about how the oceans have never been warmer. Ever since they've been recording ocean temperature, 2023 and so far 2024 have been off the charts when it comes to the temperature of the ocean. This is very bad news for a lot of reasons. Marine life, storms whip up, crap like that.
Okay.
A team of oceanographers and planetary scientists at the Ocean University of China, working with a pair of colleagues from the U.S. and one in Germany, has found via computer modeling that recent heat waves in the North Pacific may be due to a large reduction in aerosols emitted by factories in China. So here's the story, and I'm going to sum it up in my stupid version here.
Okay.
Over the last 10 years, the Chinese government has said, we're going to cut down on the use of aerosols being thrown up in the air from our factories.
Okay.
Okay?
Seems like a good idea.
It is a good idea. We always heard when we were kids, even like the aerosol cans, it's bad for the ozone layer.
Yeah.
Right? And so American factories have had restrictions on aerosols for a long time. China is still playing catch up when it comes to emissions. And so they decided 10 years ago, we're going to stop using these aerosols. They're still pumping out smoke and bad crap up there.
Yeah, but the aerosols, the hole in the ozone layer was a thing, right?
They
talked about how you're damaging the ozone layer with aerosols, and that's not good.
Yes. So they were thinking, hey, we're doing something good by cutting out our aerosols. We're going to catch up to the rest of the globe. Well, looks like these scientists think that this actually is contributing to temperatures rising in the Pacific Ocean. And here's why. The aerosol particles, when they're in the air, kind of act as mirrors. They would take the sun's rays and reflect them back into space.
Okay. Right.
But now that those aerosols aren't there anymore, the sun's rays come down and go right into the ocean, heating up the ocean.
Now that's interesting.
Well, yes. I mean, you have something bad. Like, you get rid of something bad,
right?
Thinking, well, this is good.
Right.
This is going to help the environment. Turns out the air is so clean, well, in theory, that the sun has no place else to go but down to the ocean, heating everything up and killing whales.
Now, I know that, like, when we were... Well, I think there should be two thoughts here. One is, you said this was Chinese researchers who said, like, people living in China, working in China, presumably
Ocean
working...
University of China, working with a pair of colleagues from the U.S. and one in Germany.
Okay.
They published a paper in the Natural Academy of Sciences magazine. Right.
So, a university possibly funded by the government of China saying, hey, guess what? Chinese factories, we should be pumping out more aerosol. It would actually help things.
Well,
I think it's possible that...
Yeah.
It's worth a grain of salt, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, all right.
But also... This harkens back to something I remember as a kid, where I remember hearing that plastic bags were initially put out there as an alternative. Now, maybe this is wrong, but I remember hearing that they were an alternative to the damaging of our forests, paper bags,
right?
Which were, you know, we're cutting down trees, we're making all these paper bags. That's not good.
There was a time you asked for a paper bag, they looked at you like, why do you hate trees?
Yeah. Why do you hate the environment?
Take this plastic.
Have some plastic. Right. But then, and the idea was that the plastic bags, you can recycle them by like using them over and over and over again.
But you don't.
Most people don't.
Yeah, you throw them away.
And what happens to them once they're thrown away? It takes like 1,000 years to break them down, and they end up in everything from ocean water to your landfill to everything. It's not great, right? So now there's been a push to go away from the plastic and either go back to, like, now what do a lot of stores do? In places where they've banned plastic bags, what can you do? You can either buy paper bags from them for like 5 cents a piece,
mm-hmm.
or you bring your own reusable bags. But now paper bags are seen as an environmental alternative to horrible plastic bags.
So science does often have to go in waves to eventually get to a better conclusion.
Well,
so I'm saying it could be very possible that these scientists, exactly what they're saying is happening, and we didn't see that coming because we didn't know what would happen when you got rid of the aerosols.
Things are constantly changing and research changes it. Our perspective changes, but you know, I've long thought, that's not to say we shouldn't do what we can when it cut down on pollution and, you know, try not to be irresponsible, but the real answer to us saving our ass on this planet is going to be the technology that we come up with.
Probably. Right?
It's just, and maybe they see something like this, like, oh, all right, these aerosol particles are reflecting the light back to space. Now, can we come up with an aerosol particle that won't put a hole in the ozone layer and can still reflect this light back up into space? Let's get our top men working on that right now.
Yeah, physics is an odd, weird beast that I know very little about. So I should probably take heed of whatever the scientists are saying there.
I just find it very interesting.
That is all
things,
fascinating.
Things you thought you knew,
of course.
And then your brain leaks out of your ear.
Dude, I am a fan of, as we've talked about on the show, if you tell me there's a book or a podcast or something I can read that will give me info that will make me rethink everything I thought about the world, I embrace that.
Aaron Rodgers says, I have some literature for you.
Right. Well, again, I don't think everything Aaron Rodgers is for, I'm against or anything like that. Aaron Rodgers believes in the magical healing properties of ayahuasca and psychedelic drugs, different things like that. There are people who say there is at least something to that.
You know who says that?
Who's that?
Commencement guy at OSU this weekend.
By the way, did you see the report out there?
No.
Okay, there's a report from DJ Burns. I believe his website is called The Rooster. DJ Burns, if you are a longtime 11 Warriors fan, he used to write for that website. He also, if I'm not mistaken, was one of the first people to have images of Urban Meyer hanging out at Urban Meyer's Pint House with someone who was not Shelley Meyer, shall we say.
Also just helped NC State get to the Final Four, didn't he? DJ Burns?
Yeah, man, he's really talented.
He's really talented.
He's taking butt crack massage pictures of Urban and playing basketball.
Right. So he had a report from, now he says, someone that he talked to, a source, unnamed, of course, for anonymity purposes, not authorized to speak on this issue, but someone reached out to him and claims they are on the committee that selects who speaks at commencement. The guy they had was this...
Christopher Pan.
Christopher Pan, that's right.
Who is a charlatan.
Well, we even said at the time, we said, no one's ever heard of this guy. This seems like a weird decision.
Very, very weird.
Well, someone from the selection committee that decides who's going to speak at this event has now come forward. And they are claiming that what occurred there was they start out with a list of, you know, 80 or 90 people.
Did I make the top 80?
You know what? It didn't have a comprehensive summation of who all was on it.
I should make the top 80.
I don't think you should.
I'm not saying I should be the guy, okay? But I should be in the top 80.
Okay. To be clear, in this article, he is quoting someone who's on this committee, and they claimed, they said, look, we instantly weed out people we think are going to be too controversial, too political, too whatever. But for example, they said on the initial list, Donald Trump is on there, Kamala Harris was on there, on and on and on. Celebrities, right? Said that Kirk Herbstreit's on the list about every year. And there was an actual quote in this article that said, Kirk Herbstreit is on the list despite the fact that the committee chair can't pronounce his last name.
Can't pronounce his last name.
And that some of the faculty on the committee say they've never heard of him.
Look, there's plenty of reasons why you don't want him to be your commencement speaker. Reason number one being he's a giant douche.
Right.
But how is Herbstreit hard to say?
Well, maybe they just didn't know.
Just phonetically spell it out on a card.
Fair enough. He's been there quite a bit. Either way, the point here is, so they whittle this list down to about 10 people. Then they submit the list to the president. And the president could ultimately decide, yeah, I like one of these selections. I'll pick this person. Or what apparently happened, according to this report.
Well, did he go rogue?
Is that he ignored all the people on the list and just picked this guy.
Did he take Johnny Manziel in the first round?
It sounds like it. Pick someone that he thought would be a great speaker. And this is the guy that now everyone is writing about as being an idiot.
Ted Carter, you're an idiot.
If that's what happened
and you pick this guy, you're an idiot.
Now, again, I don't know. This is a report. Take it for what it's worth. But what I will say is if that occurred, then that is not a good sign that at Ohio State, you showed up, you've been here for 6 months or less, and you were instantly like, yeah, all these people who work here, have been here, a big part of this community. I have no ties to Ohio State. They've told me these are people that would be popular and good for a commencement address at spring graduation. I get what you're saying. I'm Ted Carter. My nickname's Slapshot. I'm doing what I want. That seems like a not great way to ingratiate yourself initially to the Ohio State community.
By the way, this guy, Christopher Pan, who was talking about Bitcoin and all this other stuff there. And again, you want to invest in Bitcoin, more power to you.
Go right ahead.
People have made money. I hope you make money. To include that as part of a speech to graduates, like this is what you should be doing when most of these people are walking out with crippling student debt.
Yeah.
I think is ridiculous.
Seems a bit tone deaf.
But he said he actually was on ayahuasca when he wrote his speech.
Sure.
He said that.
He's in fact, like there are lots of people who are touting that as like, wow, isn't that great? And you know what? I don't know. I've never done ayahuasca. I don't know what it does to you. What I'm saying, though, is this decision has been panned. It's getting written about nationally now. People are catching on to this speech and saying this is embarrassing for Ohio State.
It sucked.
Yes, it
this
sucked.
Is Ohio State.
He led them in a sing-along. Like what?
This guy's like a cult leader. Like I'm sure the president heard him like on one of his TED talks and got a chubby.
Oh, dude,
this will be great.
I do not understand the fascination with weird guys who are like, yeah, it's a little unorthodox, but I'm going to take my shirt off and ask everybody to stand up and sing along to a children's song. And it's like very powerful, influential people look at that and go, yes, this is the leadership I need.
I don't get
it's
it.
It's like,
man.
I mean, dude, no, maybe you don't. Maybe this guy, he actually said, this Chris Pan, he said, when I got the email, I thought I was being punked. I thought I was being pranked. I did not.
Because he didn't think he was worthy.
Yes. Because
you're not.
Because even he knew this is bizarre that they're calling me up to ask me to speak at Ohio State for the commencement address. And he was right.
All right, Sasquatch.
Yeah, I forgot about.
Bad day for Sasquatch. That's all right. It's my fault, too. That's coming up next. We got talking about Ted Carter and aerosols and dying whales.
And ayahuasca.
Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
Watch for an accident on the left shoulder of eastbound 70 on the east side at James Road. Police are on scene there. And we have another accident on southbound 315's off-ramp to 670 East to watch out for. This report is sponsored by Dairy Queen. Hey, DQ fans, cool off with their new summer blizzard treat menu. Try new picnic peach cobbler or snag a perfect beach treat like their new peanut butter cookie dough party. The new summer blizzard treat menu is one you won't want to miss. Only at participating DQ locations. Happy tastes good. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Objects in radio may be dumber than they appear. This is Man and Bone.
Happy Wednesday. It is Wild Card Wednesday. All right, let's get to Sasquatch now. Zach Edey of Purdue fame threw out the first pitch at the Cubs-Padres game at Wrigley yesterday. This is the radio, so we can't share it with you, but I will tell you, it was not good. Just a bit outside.
I mean, I think it hit the left-handed batter's box, maybe. Like, maybe the edge of it on its way to the backstop. It was not even close.
No, it's terrible. And I also don't understand why they have the mascot out there catching. Put a real person back. It's got to be distracting just to see a big giant rat, whatever their mascot is.
The Cubs have a bear because they are the Cubs.
Big giant rat. It's a,
bears are Cubs.
It's a rat.
I believe they have Cubs. That's what their babies are called. I will say with Zach Edey, I could be wrong on this, but I know he was a hockey player. I am also fairly certain at one point he was a pitcher. That was one of the other sports he played was baseball. I mean, he was
nerves got the best of him.
He was a tall guy. He obviously, you know, is very athletic. It would not be surprising if someone said, you know, you might be good at pitching because he has, you know, the tall frame and all that. And then clearly basketball became where he had to go.
You know, once upon a time, this is at old Cooper Stadium. I threw out the first pitch.
Okay.
And was nervous, but I made the determination I was going to throw from the mound.
All right.
Not going to be one of these front of the grass, edge of the grass type of throws. I'm throwing from the mound. I don't remember the minor leaguer that they had catching, but he was somebody on the roster who wasn't playing that day. And I one-hopped it, but I contend to this day, I only one-hopped it because he trapped it on purpose to make me look like an idiot. He could have put his glove out there, caught it on the fly.
Oh, really?
Yes. Instead, he let it come to him and one-hop very easily. Would have been a little low in the zone, but still, not a bouncer.
Wouldn't have done that in a game. Wouldn't have
he showed me up. Showed me up.
Look at you. I didn't know you had a grudge.
I forget the dude's name. I hope he falls down wherever he is.
I don't think I've ever done a ceremonial first pitch.
Well, we're going to make that happen now.
I don't have a desire to do that. That's not because I don't like the Clippers or anything. I just don't have a desire to go out there and do a ceremonial first pitch. It's not I know my limits.
I also took batting practice out there at Old Cooper Stadium.
Did you?
You ever go to the bowels of Cooper Stadium towards the end?
You know,
it smelled like bowels.
I don't think I did. I remember as a kid, I got to, like when I was six in T-ball, we played a game on the field, but it was just in the outfield. They had like two or three games going at a time. So kids could say,
what year?
You played a game. I don't know. I was six, so it would be like 88.
They had artificial turf probably, right?
They did.
Yeah.
It was smoking hot. I thought my cleats were going to melt.
Yeah.
It was like to bend down and touch it. It felt like,
I don't know how dudes played on that.
It felt like asphalt. It was so hot. Yeah. But I remember then we got to walk in the dugout and I just could not understand how that was what these ball players I looked up. I said, this is what a dugout looks like. This is gross. And I'm not saying it because it was bad. It was just, it had cups and gum and, you know, stuff was just all kind of all over the place. This was almost 40 years ago, 35 years ago, but it was not great then. So I can't imagine at the end before they moved into Huntington Park, how great it was. Probably wasn't much better.
Wild Card Wednesday.
This one is from Dave Kwan, who says, my guys, if you could have grown up in a different decade, which one would you have liked to grow up in? I think we have to establish which decades we each of us grew up in. Because I was born in 82, but I feel like I grew up in the 90s. Don't you? Do you feel like you grew up in the 90s?
I consider myself a 90s kid.
Yeah. And you're about the same age as me.
I'm 44 years old, so I consider myself to be a 90s kid.
Yeah. But I mean, I would actually probably pick growing up like in the 2010s. Like 2010, 2020 would be the decade I would like to have come of age.
I couldn't pick a time that doesn't have air conditioning. Like the prospect, like there's part of me, it's right. Like, hey, you know, families moving out to the suburbs in the 50s. That seems like a nice time. You know, like the American dream really being established for the first time and, you know, the whole neighborhood coming out when somebody gets a new Chevy. Like, that just sounds like fun. And then I have the thought of just going to sleep in a really hot room.
Yes.
And I can't handle that.
Yeah. No, I mean, genuinely, see, because I initially thought going backwards in time, but why would I want fewer amenities from what I had growing up? I would want at least what I had, if not more. So if I grew up like 2010 to 2020, one, I would be much younger. But two, I would have grown up with the internet fully established. Like all this stuff would have already been there. So I never would have had to look in an encyclopedia. We had Encyclopedia Britannicas in our house. We had a giant shelf full of books. And they're useless. I mean, they're not useless, but
I make Samantha read them.
They had to update these things every few years because new information has come to light. Like the aerosols we just learned about today, right? They got to put new stuff in there. So if you got the wrong edition,
I don't have the updated ones either. She keeps asking me about the USSR.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Don't worry about it, honey.
Yeah. My point is, growing up in like 2010s, also a lot of music that I enjoy started being made. Like I would have, all that stuff would have been new to me, but I would have been in the era of, yeah.
I'm with you.
So let's go. This one is from Annie Hockhausen, says, my guys. This one is for Bone, with all the talk about the Crew players who could potentially be transferred before the end of the season due to their talent. What do you think it will take for Major League Soccer to be considered one of the elite leagues in the world? I did not expect a serious question there from Annie Hockhausen, but salary cap, remove that. No other league that is a top five league in the world tells you how much money you can spend. They have some rules.
Although the English soccer, Premier League, they are toying with the idea of a salary cap.
Yeah, they currently in Europe, they have these things called fair play rules, which have to do with the amount of money you spend has to be tied to the amount of money that your club actually brings in. Can't go into debt.
Mm-hmm.
But those are so loose. They're nothing compared to a salary cap in MLS.
Because who's in debt in the Spanish league?
Name your team. But the biggest one is Barcelona.
Barcelona. That's what I was talking about, where they can't pay their bills.
No, they've been. That's why Lionel Messi is partially why he's in MLS. He wanted to go back to Barcelona. They were told by the league, you cannot spend the money it would cost to bring him here. So then and that's where he started. He was playing at PSG. He then said, all right, well, if I can't go there, I'm going to Miami, where I'm going to get like part of the Apple TV deal for MLS and a whole bunch of other, you know, stuff, as well as going to America, getting to build your brand.
By the way, speaking of finally stepping up to the big time, I saw the WNBA, their season starts up next week. They are actually going to be chartering flights for the teams this season.
That's good.
Is a requirement. I didn't know that they weren't.
No, I didn't either.
But now they actually have to fly private.
You know what? This sucks. I'm glad they're doing it now. But think about how many of those teams are actually owned by NBA team owners or pro sports team owners.
For a long time, Major League Soccer didn't do that either.
You're exactly right. And they should have been shamed into it. And I'm glad they're starting to change that, because now the money is changing in those sports. And obviously, in the WNBA, we've seen the college game getting much more attention. WNBA is going to continue to grow as well. Good for them, but it should have happened earlier.
Name dropping with Jeffrey Rimmer coming up next. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
Watch out for an accident blocking the left lane and causing a 15-minute slowdown on eastbound 270 on the south outer belt after 23. And there's a 25-minute delay on eastbound 70 on the east side between Livingston Avenue and Bryce Road. This report is sponsored by Taco Bell. Taco Bell's new Cravings Value menu is a big deal. Or rather, it's 10 big deals. From new items like the loaded nachos to familiar favorites like the spicy potato soft taco. Check it out at a participating Taco Bell today. Available for a limited time only while supplies last. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Common Man and T-Bones. With the biggest name dropper of them all, the CBJ's Jeff Rimmer.
Sponsored by Byers Imports, Hamilton Road by the airport.
He is our retired buddy. Jeff Rimmer joins us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Hello, Rims.
Good afternoon, and you're not quite accurate with that statement.
Why?
I'm not totally retired. I'm going to be a regular on this show.
This isn't work for you. This is pleasure, right?
Well, it is, but I still, as I said to you here in previous weeks, I'll always remain a Columbus Blue Jacket, and I plan on visiting, I plan on being around and helping the team in any way, shape, or form, so it won't be a retirement where I'm sitting on the couch and watching television on a daily basis. I will still be involved doing some things.
All right. You know
you're allowed to do that, though, Rims.
Are you at least enjoying yourself a little bit, Rims?
Am I what?
Are you enjoying yourself?
Asking, am I enjoying myself?
Yes.
Well, again, this is the time that I usually spend in Florida, the off season. I think where it will really, really come into effect is when the Blue Jackets start training camp, and I may or may not be there. I mean, we won't televise the first game, or at least the Blue Jackets won't, until the early days of October. So for all intents and purposes, this is not unlike any other offseason for me.
Who are they going to hire to do your job?
Well, you'd have to ask management there. I can't answer that question.
They're not asking you to look at some tape or your recommendation, none of that?
Well, put it this way, I've given them my thoughts on what they should be looking for, but ultimately it's their decision, and I'm sure they'll make the right one.
When are they going to hire a GM?
Next question.
wow.
I think we're getting close, or closer. I shouldn't say close. Closer. Obviously, they want to make the decision as early as possible. And as I said last week, some teams would fall by the wayside, and indeed they did. We're now into round two, and I suspect there may still be some people that they would like to talk to that are still involved in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I'm sure they're doing their due diligence, and I would suspect here sooner than later. But as I explained on an earlier national show today, the fact is the scouts are responsible for the draft. And yesterday we had the lottery. I was hopeful that the Blue Jackets might win the lottery for the first time in franchise history. They have had one time when Doug McLean traded to move up from third to first and they selected Rick Nash. But I really had a feeling that maybe this was the year that they won ultimately the first pick in the draft. It didn't happen. And there'll be no celebration for Celebrini. But the fact of the matter is they still have the fourth best pick. But back to the original question, the draft obviously is of importance, and the Jacket scouts have been working all season long in that regard.
Name dropping with Jeff Rimmer right here on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. So, Rims, one more thought on the hiring process before we get to the draft lottery and all that. They obviously, I'm guessing, are waiting to hire their GM before they decide what to do with the head coaching situation in Pascal Vincent. Am I wrong in reading it that way? And am I wrong in saying that it seems like the longer it takes to hire a GM, the more likely it could be that Pascal Vincent returns next year?
Well, I've talked to Pascal about this on numerous occasions, both before the end of the season, down the stretch, and even since the season ended. And he's well aware, and he certainly understands the new general manager is going to come in and ultimately make the moves that he wants to make. And obviously, it's not the best case scenario for Pascal Vincent, but he certainly understands. I don't think it has a bearing on whether or not he stays with regards to how long it takes to hire a general manager. Ultimately, that decision will take place once the GM is hired, and it will be his decision and his alone.
Name dropping with Jeff Rimmer, brought to you by Rimmer's Friends, Buyers Imports by the airport. You want to talk about your friends, Rims?
I did, in fact, talk to a general manager today, and it was the general managers of Buyers Imports by the airport, Kevin Kuhn, who I continue to talk to here on, well, almost a daily basis. And he informs me there are some new automobiles in the collection, pre-owned, late model, pristine cars that are ready for delivery. That said, of course, we talk on a weekly basis about the Porsches, and there's a good selection of Macans on hand right now, both new and pre-owned. The Audi dealership is just full of brand new 19 or 2024 Audis, whatever the car that you're looking for, and there's certainly a great selection there on the different models, etc. Subaru, always fully stocked in colors and different models and options that are available to you. So I would suggest strongly you head to Buyers Imports by the airport, the sooner the better.
Macklin Celebrini is going to be the number one pick in the draft. The Sharks won the draft lottery. What are you hearing about the ceiling of Celebrini?
Well, it's an interesting question there, Mike, because talking to some scouts about Celebrini, and this is probably why one of the reasons why I was kind of hoping that the Jackets might win the lottery. He is an exceptional player, and comparisons are being made not to Connor McDavid or even Connor Bedard, but Celebrini is right now, if you want to make a comparison based on scouts that I've talked to, it is Sidney Crosby. Not too bad. He is a player that is along the likes of Sidney, who draws his teammates into the game and certainly leads by example. Had an outstanding season again this year. I'm kind of disappointed he's not up for the MVP. He certainly deserves consideration getting Pittsburgh, who has struggled most of the season, right involved in the playoff hunt until the final week of the season. So Celebrini is being compared to Sidney Crosby, and he certainly had an exceptional season. He's also the first ever. How about this? And I know T-Bone always is interested in facts and figures. He is the first ever number one overall pick that was actually a Hobey Baker winner. How about that?
Wow.
Never before has a Hobey Baker winner finished number one and selected number one in the upcoming draft. And by virtue of San Jose winning that draft last night, the draft went according to Hoyle, and nobody changed any places. So the draft, the Jackets select fourth, and San Jose will get that first pick. Celebrini, by the way, played for the junior Jackets. His dad is an integral part of the Golden State Warriors. They moved from Vancouver, where he played his minor hockey, to the Golden State so he could continue working in sports. He previously worked for the Vancouver Canucks. Quite a story there.
Okay. Well, let me.
Chock full of information.
I love it. I'm actually stunned by all the
facts.
I didn't know that he moved to, as you put it, the Golden State. I assume you moved to
California, my friend.
He moved to the Bay Area. All right, gotcha. Let me ask you this. I know we don't know who the Jackets are going to take, obviously. We don't even know who the GM is. But like you said, scouts make the picks. What would Rimmer like to see? Not as far as a player, but just a type of player. What are you looking for the Jackets to make? A centerman, a wing, someone in the defenseman on the blue line? What do you want to see them do with that fourth pick?
As you'll hear every general manager in any sport say, you want the best available player. But let me throw a curveball at you, T-Bone.
Okay.
What if the Blue Jackets, and I'm told, okay, and again, I'm going by the scouts that I talked to here over the course of the regular season, and in particular, next year is going to be a much better year and a deeper year for the draft. The players that are available right now, there are a number of Russian defensemen. Defenseman is the name of the game this year in the draft. And do the Blue Jackets need potentially another defenseman? Do they need another European defenseman? Do they want to go for a homegrown Canadian or American-born North American player? But what if, as I throw that curveball at you, they trade that number four pick for someone that could help them immediately? What's wrong with that?
I guess they're trading the pick then.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Keep an eye on it.
I guess they're trading the pick.
Keep an eye on it. No.
I'm just playing general manager.
That's what I asked you to do. That's fair. I asked you to do that.
I got it. Hey, any name dropping before we let you go?
Yes, I have one name to drop, and it's a familiar name, but there's a specific reason for it. And that's my good friend, Michael Bublé, who I've talked to here in recent days. No, hey, the Vancouver Canucks. We haven't even talked about the Stanley Cup playoffs here specifically. But Vancouver and Edmonton, all Canadian series, and it should be a dandy. And Michael Bublé is the ultimate Vancouver fan, so he wanted to pick my brain on my thoughts. And as much as I like Connor McDavid and enjoy watching him play, one of the most exciting players that I've ever watched in hockey, my hockey history, 47 years in the NHL, I still would like to see Vancouver win this series, and that's because I've got some personal friends on the team in the president of the team, Jimmy Rutherford, former GM in both Pittsburgh and Carolina. Rick Tocchet and I are pretty close going back to my days in Washington. I guess I'm throwing some more names out. And your favorite player of all time as a Columbus Blue Jacket, the former captain, Adam Foote. They're all part of that Vancouver
love
team.
Them. Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, I was talking to my good friend, Michael Bublé, about the Canucks. And of course,
the last time you were in Vancouver was your farewell trip to Vancouver. He said he was going to meet you and he stiffed you.
Yeah.
So what are you still talking to him for?
Wait a second. He didn't stiff me. Something came up. He promised that if he didn't have another engagement, that he would make it.
Did you text him when you were in Vancouver?
I did.
Did he text you back while you were there?
No, he did not.
He ghosted you.
That's the definition of stiffing you, Rims. When he's like, hey, I had something else more important
to
do.
Otherwise, I'd hang out with you.
Hey, who was the first of the several people to respond to requests by the Blue Jackets to provide a commentary and best wishes to Jeff Rimmer in retirement? It was Michael Bublé. You saw it on the video board. On more than one occasion here as the Jackets played down the stretch. So, yeah, I mean.
Right. And on more than one occasion, he stiffed you. We got to go. We'll see you next week.
I'll be there.
I love how he says occasion.
Occasion.
I love the Canadian occasion.
Name dropping with Jeff Rimmer on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Back page coming up. Colin Mann and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
We've got an accident blocking the left lane on westbound 270 on the west outer belt between 62 and Georgesville Road, causing a 15-minute delay there. Emergency crews are on scene. And there's another accident blocking the left lane on eastbound 270 on the south outer belt after 23. It will be stop and go from 71, and it's a 15-minute slowdown there as well. We have slow traffic on northbound 71 on the north side between 17th Avenue and Cook Road. This report is sponsored by Direct Auto. Safe Auto Insurance is now Direct Auto Insurance. New name, same low-down payments. Go to directauto.com for a free quote. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Buckeye Show coming up at the top of the hour. The fine host of the Buckeye Show, he's back from vacation. Your friend and mine, Timmy Hall.
Oh, you guys. Let's see if I remember how to still do this.
Okay.
4 days away from work.
And it's like I need the training wheels back on.
Well, and then you came in today and got us all fired up.
I didn't get you fired up.
No. We've made some changes around here.
I didn't do anything.
Let me be clear. Let's help Timmy out. I asked questions I did not know the answers to. Tim answered them honestly, and then we both said, that's stupid, and right. yelled
right.
about
you guys were able to pry some sensitive information out
if
of me.
If you missed that part of the show today, it's going to be on the podcast. If you don't subscribe to the podcast, we'll do it now. The podcast is sponsored by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. It's also Wild Card Wednesday.
So I have a couple I want to read, one of which is going to get a prize. The first one is not the one getting the prize, just so you know. Chip Dip, who we love, says, my guys, Common Man, does your wife ever do the cooking or baking? And if you asked her to cook something, what would she make?
No, she doesn't do the cooking. I do the cooking. She will do some baking projects with the kid.
Well, that was actually
cookies and whatnot
with Samantha.
Yeah. So you're really good at baking. You brought in those cookies.
They were fantastic. I have no patience. So Samantha's like, can I crack the egg? And I'm like, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You're putting shells.
Well, that was actually in the bowl.
Kristen is much more nice, right. is the word that we're looking for.
Oh, yeah. Good job, Samantha.
Yes, exactly.
Not good job, bad job.
Bonus question from Chip Dip. Have you started teaching your daughter the Common Man kitchen secrets? So obviously the answer is not yet.
Well, I do. We talk about it. And my daughter is obsessed with cooking.
Okay.
Like she makes up, you know how when you were a kid, when I was a kid.
She gets it from you.
I would fill out like my fantasy baseball lineups.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I just do that. She's writing down menus for restaurants she will one day have.
Mm-hmm.
She's naming restaurants. She's putting dishes on there. She's putting prices on there. And I told her, that's very good. You can do all of that. You can go to culinary school only after you go to business school so you can learn how to run the business.
Mm. Yeah, and then go to culinary school. I think that's probably important. Yeah, that's probably very important. Also, we do have a prize to give away from Pecan Pennies, the winner of Wildcard Wednesday's best question, I guess. It's a $50 gift card to Pecan Pennies. Pecan Pennies, your downtown home for barbecue, happy hour, and soccer. All things I enjoy. Chad is going to win this. Chad said, what is a pet peeve that your spouse does that if your coworker did it, you'd lose your mind?
Actually, you guys do the same thing. You always say, I need you to itch me. I know. It's like you have an itch that you need to be scratched. You guys both eliminate the word scratch and just use itch for both. I have an itch. Can you itch it?
Or it's like, I'm itching myself right now. And you're like, no, you're scratching yourself, you moron.
Yes.
Yes. Mine would probably, like, you would not do this, but my wife is the one there. If I leave a glass half drank, sitting on a countertop.
Half drank?
Half drunk?
Drunk? Whatever.
Drinking?
Half empty.
Yeah.
Like I have, let's say, poured a glass of something to drink.
Sure.
Like a glass of water. I'm not even saying like booze or anything. Glass of water, set it down on the counter, and then I go, oh, I need to go over here and do a task for like 5 minutes. I will come back, glass is gone. Like that's in the dishwasher. Why did you leave the glass there?
Yeah.
So that's something
Was it on a coaster?
Oh, yeah.
If it wasn't on the counter.
Yeah, it's on a coaster.
Do you respect wood?
Her pet peeve.
Oh, I respect wood, Timmy.
Good.
I'm a big respecter of
your
wood.
Your pet peeve on her is that she actually cleans up after you.
No.
And likes it clean.
I'm not done with it yet. I know, if it was sitting there for 3 hours, totally. I
will say this. This is the one that gets me. You know, laundry leaves the washing machine, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's also this thing where almost every time, like 70% of the clothes leave the washing machine. Like, we don't have a dryer that's big enough to do the whole load. And so then what we will do is, when the washer is totally empty, I'll start putting the dirty clothes in. It'll act as the hamper for a little bit. If I'm going to do the load later that day, right?
Okay.
So a lot of times I'll be throwing dirty laundry in because I'll see clothes in there that I will assume are already dirty. Because there's only like 6 or 7 articles in there. I'm like, okay, there's some dirty clothes. And they're just like, no, those are wet and clean. I haven't dried them yet. I'm like, but you're already drying clothes. Like, this should be the next thing to go in. This needs to be washed and then dried. And when it's in the dryer, that's where they remain. They stay in the dryer.
They stay there to get all wrinkly.
They just, yeah, I'm like, honey, if you're not going to do the whole task, just don't even begin. I'll do it. You can't dry all the clothes and then leave them there for 24 hours. There's no worse feeling than when you go to that laundry room.
You can't get those wrinkles out.
And I open up that dryer and I just peek and then fill with clothes. Ah, dang it. And I just shut it and I run the thing again.
You can get those wrinkles. That's called an ironing board.
Yeah, I'm going to iron a whole load of clothes that could have been not wrinkled
not
if they were
them.
Just taken out and folded.
That's fair. That's
all right,
fair.
Back page.
The Back Page.
The Back Page
with Common Man and T-Bone.
Sponsored by Care Heating and Cooling. When you need a company you can trust, call 1-800-COOLING.
Bone. Well, sad news to report today and could have dedicated the show to this guy. Legendary. He didn't like to be called a producer. He liked to be called a sound engineer. Legendary sound engineer slash producer Steve Albini passed away at the age of 61. Sadly, had a heart attack apparently yesterday at his Chicago studio where he recorded some legendary albums. For example, Surfer Rosa, Pixies, one of their best albums. You might remember the song Where Is My Mind? It's the end song at when you're watching Fight Club, that ending scene. That song that's playing is Pixies. It's off of Surfer Rosa. He recorded that album for them. He also did some albums for the Breeders, but the one probably most people are familiar with, In Utero by Nirvana. They sought him out after those albums and said, that's what we want. He did their album. His line that he always said was, if it takes more than a week to record your record, someone has effed up. Anyway, gone too soon at 61. Go listen to some of his music and stuff that he produced.
Buckeye Show is next. We'll see you tomorrow. Common Man and T-Bone on The Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
You're going to find slower traffic on westbound 70 on the west side between Central Avenue and Fisher Road, and expect a 15-minute delay on eastbound 70 on the east side between Livingston Avenue and Bryce Road. This report is sponsored by Dairy Queen. Hey, DQ fans, cool off with their new summer blizzard treat menu. Try new picnic peach cobbler or snag a perfect peach treat like their new peanut butter cookie dough party. The new summer blizzard treat menu is one you won't want to miss. Only at participating DQ locations. Happy taste good. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM HD1 Columbus. The Fan. The Fan. Center.
Good evening, I'm Ryan Baker. The Cleveland Guardians got a 5-4 come-from-behind win in extra innings over the Detroit Tigers this afternoon. The Guardians scored a run in the 8th, 9th, and 10th innings to erase a 4-2 deficit. David Fry hit his second home run of the season. Emmanuel Clase with the win. The Cincinnati Reds looking to break a 6-game losing streak when they host the Arizona Diamondbacks at 6:40. Graham Ashcraft gets the start for Cincy. Jordan Montgomery goes for the Diamondbacks. The Columbus Clippers gave up 3 runs in the 9th this afternoon to lose to the Iowa Cubs 9-8. The Ohio State baseball team taking on Eastern Michigan over at Bill Davis Stadium tonight. The game beginning right now. You can hear that over on ESPN Columbus. NBA playoffs tonight. The New York Knicks host the Indiana Pacers at 8 o'clock. 2 games in the NHL playoffs as the Florida Panthers host the Boston Bruins at 7:30. Then at 10, the Vancouver Canucks host the